Greg Weiss. Greg Weiss did a good job of cutting it off before it went to the wall and just making a dart throw into second. However, it was not quite in time. Again, Camacho's got that deadly speed, and that allowed him to get into second safely.
It was a close play at second, all things considered. The right fielder did a great job playing the carom and getting the ball back in, but Camacho now at second, and standing in, Kyle Norton, who fakes bunt or shows bunt and pulls back. Either way, the ball was not a strike, and Norton now will step back in with one ball and no strikes. They're getting a new ball for Robinson. And Robinson getting some instruction from his third baseman. Not sure what that's about. Either way, Kyle Norton stepping in and trying to plate Camacho, who is leading off at second. They're holding him there. Robinson looks over. Now sets and delivers, and the ball, ground ball to the second baseman, over to first, and that'll move Camacho over to third, and so a productive out for Norton. Didn't really get it done, but at least got Camacho over to third.
Yeah, that was just Justin Bostain, sorry, on the play at second base. He does a good job of getting the out at first base, and well, recently we've kind of seen plays like that that result in a Colt 45's run. However, the Indians' defense definitely looking a little sharper than they have in the past few games today. So they're able to hold Camacho up at third base this time, and now they've at least gotten out.
So lefty Bryce Tweet steps in with one out and a runner on third. That horrific curveball from Robinson once again. This one a little bit closer, I have to say. This one still outside and high for ball one to Tweet. Tweet, I'm sure, not looking to just sack fly here, but get something deep and into the outfield and down to plate the runner and keep himself on the base paths. That next pitch low and in the dirt for ball two. So Tweet now with a hitter's count, 2-0. Robinson once again starting off behind in the count. Robinson sets in the stretch, delivers, and Tweet with a hard, hard hit ball, and there's really no doubt about that one. Over the right field wall and gone. So Tweet making his trip around the bases, plates Camacho as well with a two-run shot, and that'll put the Colt 45s up 4-1.
Those are the kind of big hits you, well, we've all come to expect from Bryce Tweet. He's just got a lot of power, especially to that right side. And he knew that that one was gone right off the bat. He could feel it, and you saw him stare at it a little bit and then give a little bit of a bat flip as he started to trot around the bases. Just an absolute phenomenal piece of hitting there from Bryce Tweet, and that'll bring up Wyatt Reginato now.
Well, he was ahead 2-0 and looking for a fastball, and he got one. It even got off the end of the bat a little bit. He didn't even get all of that one and still gets out of the yard. So now stepping in, Wyatt Reginato, who takes high for ball one.
And now you got to wonder if these Indians, if this Indian pitcher Derek Robinson can get back in this game mentally. And you got to wonder what's going on in the bullpen for the Indians and what the coach's plans are for pitching after Robinson. I think a big issue we've seen here with the Indians is once one pitcher starts to struggle, they'll wait maybe a little too long to bring in someone new, and then they tend to struggle as well. Especially if they're put in a situation with a lot of base runners on.
And Reginato takes high for ball three. So once again, as we've seen, Robinson way behind in the count, 3-0 to Reginato. Reginato, the third baseman, had a base hit in the second inning and a walk in the fourth, and he takes a strike for ball one. So 3-1, Reginato. Reginato, a lefty. Robinson sets and delivers, and that ball is low and away for ball four. So Reginato takes his trip down to first base, and still no action in the bullpen for the Indians.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was saying. When these pitchers start to struggle here for the Indians, they typically wait maybe just a little too long. That's what happened last night when they had Justin Bostain out on the mound. They waited a little too long to get Carson Williams out there. Williams ended up coming in with the bases loaded, and he was obviously under a lot of stress. That stress got to him. He ended up giving up a lot of runs.
So that'll bring up Blake Tweet. the five-hitter for the Colts, and he fouls one off to the left side for strike one. And just as we say that, it looks like the Indians have some action going down in the bullpen. At least there's a pitcher down there. I don't see a catcher with him yet. But it looks like the Indians are going to get somebody up. So Robinson, in the stretch, sets, delivers, fastball. Strike one. Excuse me, strike two. So it's 0-2 to Tweets. So a rarity for Robinson thus far in the game. Ahead in the count, 0-2 to Tweets. And so Robinson, once more in the stretch, sets, delivers, and Tweet fouls it back high and out of play.
Not a great pitch there. Certainly one that Tweet probably didn't want to swing at, but realizes there with no balls and two strikes, he's got to fight one off, and he does. Does a good job there.
So it looks like they called Adams, who is the Indians' reliever, back to the dugout. Robinson, in the stretch once more, delivers that horrific curveball. There's really no other description for it. Would you agree?
Well, you know, I wouldn't call it horrific, maybe. It's definitely struggling to find the zone. However, I think if he can just get a little bit more snap off the wrist, I think that could turn into a pretty effective pitch. He just seems to be right on the edge there of a good pitch. He just hasn't found it yet.
It's definitely lower in velocity, to say the least. Tweet with a hard ground ball, but foul down the left side. And Reginato, at first, doesn't look to be threatening here. Robinson not paying a lot of attention to him. Tweet steps out of the box. Breeze steps back in. Robinson looks over. Now sets. Nods twice and delivers that curveball, which really, really, you're right. It is an effective pitch. Tweet's timing was way off on that one, but he fights it off and fouls it off to even the count at 2-2.
So you think a large misconception about off-speed pitches is that they have to move very deceptively. They really don't. They really just have to mess with the hitter's timing. And Derek Robinson does a good job of doing it there. With that curveball.
So he delivers once more. This one low and away for ball. Should have been ball three. That's where I had what I had.
I had a 2-2 count.
Yeah, so in on that pitch?
I have it now as a 2-2 count.
Yeah, okay, well, I was wrong. 2-2 to Blake Tweet. He swings. He puts one in the air to left field. The left fielder going back toward the corner. Out of my view. And he puts Tweet away. So that'll be out number two for the Colts. The left fielder almost to the warning track on that one and ranging out of view from us here in the box. And he's able to put Tweet away for out number two, and that'll bring up number 21, Ethan Williams.
Williams 0 for 2 on the night with a couple of flyouts. He's been seeing the ball well, been making solid contact. However, nothing's been able to fall for him so far. So now you got to wonder if he's learned a little bit from those last two at-bats and if he can really get something on the sweet spot here, drive it into a gap somewhere.
So Williams, with one runner on, takes high, back pick from the catcher, and the slide in. Oh, a little better positioning, and I think they might have had him on that. It was a great throw from the catcher, but the first baseman kind of tangled up trying to get back to the bag. And just couldn't bring the tag down. So that'll leave Reginato at first.
Reginato's got to be careful there now. He definitely was close to being caught.
He's taking a huge lead each time, secondary lead, after the pitch goes. And so, I mean, he's a good 40% down the baseline towards second. So Williams now in a hitter's count, 2-0. Robinson sets in the stretch, nods twice. Delivers, and in the dirt for ball three. So if I'm Williams, I'm really looking for something I can drive here, or I'm just taking a pitch. Which is it?
I'm taking a pitch all day here with three balls and no strikes with two outs. You do not want to be the third out swinging on a 3-0 pitch and popping something up weakly. I would take a pitch, really, if it were me, probably no matter how nice it looks here. take a strike, get the ball timed up before maybe taking a hack on the next one.
Robinson tosses over to first just to keep Reginato honest. He now sets, delivers. There's a strike right in the zone. Strike one. So a 3-1 count now to Ethan Williams. Now I'm looking for something I can drive.
Yeah, with 3-1 count, you really have the green light here to just go crazy.
And he does. It doesn't do much. A ground ball to the shortstop, over to second, and the Indians get out of the inning without a whole lot of damage. Two runs scored on Tweets, two-run shot to right field. Remember, folks, Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors. They're in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Call 530-691-4333 to place your order at Lucky Miller's Deli. We'll be right back for the bottom of the fifth, bottom of the fifth, right after this.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Welcome back, everyone. You're in the bottom of the fifth inning. The top of the sixth inning as the Colts take the field. And we stick with Alex Alvarez, it looks like, on the mound. The Colts have done a great job through five innings, facing only one more than the minimum to this point. And we'll see Ansel Carlson coming up for the Indians. Carlson struck out in his first appearance. He's the first baseman for the Indians as we finish warm-ups and get ready for the Indians to try to make something happen here. So they're down 4-1 as we head into the top of the sixth. So Alex Alvarez, not showing quite the dominance, but definitely getting the job done, giving up the home run in the last inning. But other than that, three quick outs. So Ansel Carlson steps in and takes a ball, fastball, outside for ball one. Alvarez working from the windup here, looks in, delivers. And that's ball two, also a fastball on the outside part of the plate. Two very similar pitches there. Carlson, the lefty first baseman for the Indians, tall, slight of build. And he takes high, it appears, ball three.
So a quick 3-0 count. That's not how Alvarez wanted to start off this batter or this inning, how he'll have to fight back. Try to get a couple of strikes here.
So 3-0, Carlson looks at a fastball on the outside part of the plate, and that one catches the corner and is a strike. 3-1 count now to Carlson. And that ball low and in the dirt from Alvarez, and Carlson is one of the rare base runners for the Indians tonight.
Yeah, so that, like we were talking about earlier, Alvarez just not showing quite the dominance that Irvine had coming out into this game. Irvine had given up only one hit through four innings. To be completely honest with you, I'm still a little confused why they took him out so early on with his pitch count so low. But now Alvarez will have to try to get a couple more outs with a runner on first.
So that brings up Justin Bostain, the smaller build second baseman for the Indians, and he takes a strike fastball on the outside corner for strike one. He swings, a big swing and a miss for strike two. Alvarez, I have to say, on those two fastballs, looked pretty strong. So the Indians, with no outs, have a runner on. Bostain at the plate now, behind in the count, 0-2. And a throw over to first. Nice pickoff move from Alvarez, but not in time. And Carlson back easily. So Bostain hoping to move some run, Carlson around, takes way outside and low for ball one. So Bostain struck out in his first appearance in the third, his only appearance thus far in the game. Again, keep in mind the Indians have only had now two runners or two hitters above the minimum. That ball, excuse me, that pitch outside for ball two evens the count to Bostain. So 2-2, Alvarez looking in, pitching from the stretch, sets, nods, delivers, and a bloop single into left field for Bostain, and that'll move Carlson over to second. And not a real powerful hit there, Austin, but what do you see there?
Well, it was just a good job from Bostain. He knew what he needed to do there. He needed to do a job. And, you know, like you said, he's a smaller build guy. He's not going to get a lot of power behind it. He knew it. He just kind of flared his bat out there for that bloop single, gets a job done. And now, with no outs, Alex Alvarez is going to be dealing with runners on first and second.
And you're right. I think that's the kind of hit you'd expect from a second baseman, just kind of muscles it out there and gets the runners around a little bit further. Now we're going to see Mickey Nunez, the leadoff hitter for the Indians. Mickey Nunez is the catcher. He struck out in his first plate appearance and then flew out to left field in his second. So he's looking for his first hit of the night. And Bostain, actually, I believe that's only the third hit of the night for the Indians. So they have been rare. And Nunez squares to bunt, pulls back, but takes strike one. So Nunez, the lefty, with runners on first and second, no outs. Are you sending anybody here, Austin?
If I'm the Indians, no. Williams has a good arm. I don't want to test it.
And a ball put out into right field. The right fielder getting under it, makes the catch. Carlson tags at second and heads on over to third in easily. And so now with one out, runners at the corners, we'll see Robert Searcy, the left fielder for the Indians, number 22, who struck out his first plate appearance but had a hit in the fourth.
Yeah, now with runners on first and third, the Indians really threatening. They've only got one out. Nice job by Searcy getting a job done, getting a runner over. He just missed that one. If he had gotten it maybe a little bit more in the sweet spot of that bat, he could have put it over the wall.
So Searcy standing in, he's a right-hander, takes low for ball one. So you're right, Nunez, sack fly to right, puts runners at the corners with only one out. So this gives the Indians a good opportunity to put some runs on the board. Searcy calls time, plate umpire moves out, gives it to him, and steps out from behind the catcher. Everybody back in position, Alvarez from the stretch, delivers high. The runner goes, and no throw. He takes second easily.
Now, there was a fake throw from Williams down to second on that, but because it was such a slow delivery from Alvarez, probably too slow of a delivery, Bostain got a great jump, and it just made Williams' fake throw completely unbelievable.
So, ball hit up the middle, and that's going to play possibly two. There's one across. The throw in from center fielder Tweet, cut off by the pitcher, and there's no one covering first, so there's no way to throw over, but the pitcher runs the runner back, and Searcy plates two.
So that was actually Kyle Norton, the first baseman, who came over in front of the mound to cut that ball off. That's why there was nobody at first. It was because Norton himself was the cutoff. Alvarez was backing up the plate on the throw home. And unfortunately, that base hit is just enough to get across two runs.
And a big hit, big tall fly ball, excuse me, into right center field. Tweet under it and makes the catch for out number two.
That was Ike Brown at the plate, by the way.
So I'm still trying to catch up on my notes and keep track of what's going on here. So that'll bring Carson Williams up to the plate, the designated hitter, number 37 for the Indians. And they're only trailing by one with a runner at first and two outs. So Carson Williams grounded out in the first inning and in the fifth inning. So he's got two ground outs for his efforts tonight. And he takes a strike, ball one.
And Alvarez now having given up three runs in his past two innings. The Indians are threatening, again, with a runner on first. They've got a chance to tie up the game. Williams can get across a big hit.
And he does. He grounds a base hit into right field. He takes the turn, and Searcy, on his way to third, is in easily. I'm laughing because Williams looked like they were going to try and get him on the throwback to first. He dives back, much like and belly flops, back to first base, and a pile of dust goes roiling up around him. That was one of the more amusing plays of the evening. So now the Indians, with runners at first and third and two outs, that'll bring Greg Weiss up to the plate, who had a home run in his last at-bat. And he takes a fastball in there for strike one. So Alvarez, feeling the pressure this inning. The Indians with two runs across, two outs, runners at the corners, pitches, and a curveball in there for strike two. So he's not messing around with Weiss. Weiss now behind in the count, 0-2. Weiss a righty. The pitch, low and in the dirt. That'll move the runner to second, but the runner at third, Searcy, stays put. So that brings a trip out to the mound from the catcher, Williams, and he's conferencing with his right-hander, Alvarez. What's he saying to him, Austin?
Probably just trying to settle him down here. You know, Weiss had that home run against him in the first at bat, and now with runners on second and third, I can't imagine that Alvarez isn't feeling nervous.
So Alvarez in the stretch, sets, delivers a nice fastball, rings him up, strike three, and that will end the top half of the inning. So he gets out of a jam, but not before some damage is done on two hits with the Indians plating two. And remember, folks, Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Call 530-691-4333, and we'll see you in the bottom of the sixth after this short break.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring electronic products and services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45's. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Welcome back. Your Colt 45s lead the Fairfield Indians 4-3 here going into the bottom of the sixth. We're going to see the bottom of the order, Derek Ray, the designated hitter, Giacomo Crosetti, and then Isaiah Cortez. Looks like we have a new pitcher for the Fairfield Indians. I think it's number 28, Arthur. Is it number 28? Is that what you see?
I don't have a visual on that number, no. Yeah, it does look like it's number 28.
That's Arthur Adams for the Fairfield Indians. And he's a right-hander. Well, not a lot of intel on him, so we'll have to just kind of keep you posted as the game proceeds here.
I can give you a little bit of intel against him.
I would like it.
He really struggled in the first appearance. It was game one in which the Indians lost 18-4.
Ooh.
He really struggled with his control up there on the mound. Hopefully he'll be able to come back and do a little better tonight.
So Derek Ray lines one just over the head of the second baseman in shallow center field. And with that, the Colts have their first runner aboard. The seven hole coming through for the Colts here in the bottom of the sixth. So that brings up Giacomo Crosetti, the left fielder for the Colts, number 33. As we noted earlier, Crosetti, a big guy, but he's grounded out and walked so far this game, looking for his first hit of the evening. And Adams delivers low for ball one. So Adams right into the stretch after that base hit by Ray. He's not paying close attention over there. And he throws a fastball inside. Looks like that first pitch was a strike. So that's evens the count at 1-1. Not a big lead by Ray at first. Adams not paying close attention. Delivers. Oh, and Ray goes. The throw down. Well off the bag. And so Ray steals second base on a poor throw from home.
Well, and the catcher there, Mickey Nunez really didn't have much of a shot. It was an extremely slow delivery from the pitcher, Arthur Adams. Gave Nunez almost no time to react, and you saw him try to move a little too quickly. That's what drew the poor throw there, but I wouldn't put that one on Nunez really at all.
So a little discussion going out there. I'm not sure what that's all about, but the second base umpire motioning a little bit, clearing things up. Adams steps back to the plate, sets, Crosetti waiting, the delivery in the dirt, and that's going to put Crosetti up in the count, 3-1. So as we look around, a great crowd out here. Team manager Rick Bassetti outselling 50-50 raffle tickets, it looks like. Adams sets and delivers. And a swing and a foul ball from Crosetti to work the count full. So Adams kind of saunters in, gets a new ball. Looks like that one might have got the umpire, so he's taking a little bit of a walk around the circle around home plate. They toss the ball off over to the Colts dugout. Looks like everybody's about ready to get this thing started again. Adams looking in, gets his sign, looks like he likes what he sees, sets, Ray not taking much of a lead, they're holding him at second, the pitch, and a ground ball to the right side. This is going to be a foot race between Adams, who takes the throw from the first baseman and tags first for out number one, but that'll move the runner Ray over to third base.
So Adams, in his first appearance in the series, game one, he was that pitcher that gave up 7 runs in the first inning of his start. Here he looks to be off to a little bit of a better start, but the Colt 45s are indeed threatening once again. Corners will be brought in for the Indians as they're going to try to get that runner at home.
So Isaac Cortez, the left-hander, takes the pitch, hits him right in the thigh, and so he takes a free walk down to first base. Not a lot of velocity on that one. Probably not going to leave too bad of a mark. Cortez doesn't look like it hurt him too bad. And now we have runners at the corners with one out for the Colt 45s.
And that was really characteristic of game one of this series. In game one, I believe there were 6 batters hit for the Colt 45s.
So that'll bring up the hot hitting Arif Caracho, the shortstop for the Colt 45s. And Adams steps off. That'll send Cortez back to first. Now Adams back, sets, delivers. And that ball is in there for a strike. So strike one to Camacho. Camacho can't be real happy about things tonight, although he did have a double in the fifth. But I think he walked in the first and then flew out in the third. And so that fastball inside for ball one. So count even now at 1-1. But Camacho seeing action in two consecutive innings now at the plate. Adams working slow in the stretch. Runner goes, and Camacho fouls it straight back and into the net. So Cortez makes his way back to first base on the foul ball. We'll wait for everybody to get back in their positions. Camacho looking around, taking his time, getting back in the box. Adams steps to the mound, looks over at Cortez on first. So we've got, again, runners at the corner, one out. 1-1 count. Camacho fouls it off gently to the left, right over by the on-deck circle. And we'll reset and do this again. A 1-2 count now to Camacho. He's behind. If you're Camacho, what are you looking for here, Austin?
Well, I'm not looking for anything. I'm swinging at anything close to the zone. I mean, I'm down in a 1-2 count. Got runners at first and third. I'm just looking to put a ball in play. So you're really just trying to get bat on ball here. Make sure you stay alive and hopefully get something in play to score that runner at third.
And Adams steps off and throws weakly over to first to keep Cortez over there. Cortez not taking a big lead at first, but does look like he's interested in second base. He doesn't go. He fakes it. And ball high. So that evens the count at 2-2 to Camacho. With only one out, something in the air would score another one run and give the Colts a little bit of breathing room, but you got to know Camacho's looking for more right here. Adams sets and delivers, and Camacho swings at a high pitch, likely ball three, fouls it back.
Nah,
so the count
really
will stay 2-2.
I really don't care if that's ball three if I'm Camacho. I mean, that ball was close to the zone, and with two strikes, you're going to swing at it no matter what. You do not want to take the risk of striking out here with runners on first and third. That's just absolutely unacceptable. So Camacho, they're doing a good job of fouling one off, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him do something like that again.
Agreed. He's doing his job up there. So Camacho with a 2-2 count and one out, runners at the corners, hoping to do some damage here for the Colts. Adams sets and delivers, and Camacho, he throws him an off-speed pitch, and Camacho way out in front of it, kind of a reaching out, just put the bat head on it and send it over to the Indians' dugout. I think he's doing his job here, Austin.
Well, yeah, this is exactly what you want to do against a guy like Arthur Adams. The more Adams pitched in his last appearance, seemed like the less accurate he got. And Camacho now doing a great job of really working this count, working Adams away until he can find a pitch that he really likes and drive it somewhere in the gap.
And you can tell they're in his head. Adams steps off, now back on, sets, delivers, and that ball low and inside for ball three. So Camacho doing a great job of going behind in the count and then working the count full. With only one out, runners at the corners, Camacho really hoping for a pitch he can drive here. And Adams has to send him something worth swinging at. And Camacho pops it up, shallow right field. Oh, it's going to be trouble. No, the right fielder gets it, and all the runners have to stay put. So Camacho had a great at-bat, but just really couldn't make anything happen on that one. Flies out to shallow right center or right field.
Yeah, and with a full count there, you could tell Camacho really just, well, he was trying to do too much. When he should have been looking for a base hit, he was looking for everything else and more. And unfortunately just gets right under that pitch and pops one straight up to the right fielder Weiss. He's able to make the catch in shallow right and, save any runs from scoring and any runners from advancing.
So the success in that one is just working the pitch count. Adams now sets and delivers to Norton, who hits it off the end of the bat into right center field. The center fielder coming in calls it and he puts it away for out number three. So while the Colts threaten, they don't get anything across. They strand two. And just not what they were hoping for that inning. But they lead still 4-3 as we head into the top of the seventh. And with that, the Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, just remember, they've moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Call 530 691-4333 to place your order, or go online and do the same. Lucky Miller's Deli Market, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. And with that, we'll be back after the break.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Colt 45s versus the Fairfield Indians on this Father's Day, June 19th. And I'm just going to say thank you to my son, who's letting me sit in and call play-by-play tonight. Austin, I really appreciate you letting me do this as a Father's Day president.
No problemo.
Well, it's been fun, and here we are in the top of the seventh. The Fairfield Indians sending Eric Thomas now to the plate. They had a pretty decent inning last inning, scoring two and bringing the score within one. So it'll be 4-3, Colt 45s, and we've got a new pitcher on the mound, a lefty. Number 17 delivers. In there for strike one, a fastball.
Yeah, it's going to be Caden Nichols out there on the mound. Nichols is a solid reliever, standing about 6 foot, 190 pounds, big lefty. He's definitely got some confidence.
And a ground ball up the middle, base hit. So with that, the Fairfield Indians have their first leadoff runner aboard, Eric Thomas. And Nichols gives up a base hit to his first batter. So tell me about Nichols.
Well, I was just doing that. But
we had a base hit, so, you know.
So Nichols is a mid-sized left-hander up there. He's a solid guy for the Colt 45s. You know, he doesn't give up a lot of hits, and when he does, they're typically not big ones, like that single we just saw. I wouldn't expect him to give up much more here in this inning.
So after Eric Thomas' single, Victor Vega comes to the plate, and on the first pitch, he shows bunt but pulls back for ball one. So Nichols sets and delivers and throws over to first, which is an interesting choice. Thomas not taking a big lead. Nevertheless, they want to keep him honest. Nichols, the lefty, his move over to first is going to be a little bit more deceptive. He sets and delivers. And, again, a bunt but pulled back. This one, though, in there for a strike. And so Vega now seeing a 1-1 count. So Nichols, again, throws over to first. Thomas back in easily. Vega with a 1-1 count. Flew out to left field his last at-bat and grounded out to the third baseman in his first plate appearance. Again, shows bunt and pulls back for strike two. Not sure what he's doing there. Just not liking the pitch he sees to bunt on. So he is now behind in the count, 1-2. Thomas not taking a big lead at first. The delivery, and called strike three. So Vega goes walking back to the dugout, and that'll bring up Ansel Carlson. Carlson struck out his first plate appearance in the third, and then his second at-bat in the sixth walked.
Well, and now Caden Nichols looking to get a ground ball, probably somewhere up the middle here, so he can get a double play, get out of this inning.
And the runner goes. And the catcher, Ethan Williams, on the transfer, drops the ball. So no throw down to second. And Eric Thomas has a stolen base.
Well, that was no fault of the catcher there, Ethan Williams. That ball was in the dirt. He did a good job of picking it out of the dirt, but you're right, as he came up, just kind of slipped right out of his glove. So he was trying to move a little too quick. Still, not really his fault on the steal.
So an off-speed pitch now hits Carlson, and he will take a trip down to first. So now the Indians, with runners at first and second and one out, are threatening. That'll bring up Justin Bostine, the number nine hitter. So Indians looking to turn the order over here while the Colts are looking for a double play. So we're going to see Bostine again. As we mentioned before, Bostine, not a large man. He is the second baseman for the Indians. He had a base hit in the sixth inning and a strikeout in the third. He's looking to just get anything out of the infield and into play. And that first pitch, a fastball, low for strike one. Excuse me, low for ball one. So Nichols sets, looks the runner over at second, delivers, and a big swing and a miss from Justin Bostine for strike one. So the count evens at 1-1. The Indians hoping to get some action going here with runners at first and second. Nichols in the stretch, sets, delivers, outside for ball two. So the Colt fans and players a little nervous here with the Indians with runners on. Bostine, again, got the job done last inning with a single. And that fastball from Nichols is in there for strike two. So 2-2 count to Bostine. The Indians trailing by a run, 4-3 here in the top of the seventh. Now Bostine calls time. The umpire steps out from behind the plate. And so Nichols steps off, and he'll reset, and we'll do this all over again. Neither runner taking a big lead for the Indians. But they go. The throw down to third from Ethan Williams is not in time. And so only one runner goes. So I believe that was Eric Thomas. Steals third. Meanwhile, Ansel Carlson stays at first.
By the way, Justin Bostine just struck out there as well.
Thank you. I was wondering why there was somebody different up there at the plate. See, I told you this would be painful, folks. All right, so with that, Bostine strikes out, which brings up the leadoff hitter, Mickey Nunez. Nunez has flown out twice this evening and struck out once in the first. So he's definitely looking for something here. And apparently that hit him, or they're putting him on. Did you catch which it was?
Yeah, it was a curveball that kind of scraped the front part of his arm, and he'll get sent on over to first.
So that'll load the bases for the Indians with two outs and bring up the number two hitter, Robert Searcy, who has two base hits. He's 2-for-3 tonight with a strikeout in the first. I did not see that hit Nunez, but it did. And the first pitch to Searcy is in there for a strike, fastball. That was a good low pitch, not something easily hit. And so Searcy will stand in again, and we'll see what Nichols brings to the plate. And that's a curveball. Misses for ball one, and the ball gets by the pitcher, Nichols. It looked like he just thought he had it. The sun's a little bit kind of deceptive right now, kind of in his eyes. And
again, kind of a mental mistake on both sides there. That runner over at third definitely probably could have had home plate easily had he been paying attention, but his back was turned. And, well, both teams got to be a little more heads up.
And a swing and a miss, foul ball, sorry, from Searcy. And that'll be a 1-2 count now as Nichols takes a stroll around the mound. You're right, that was definitely a mental error on both. Nichols just sort of closed his glove and turned away before the ball was in there. And the third base runner just not paying attention, didn't do much with it. So Nichols delivers, and a foul ball once again from Searcy. So he stays alive to see another pitch.
Yeah, now Nichols is just one strike away from getting himself out of the jam here. But Searcy, hot this game, is looking to tie it up, maybe take the lead.
And he hits one foul down the right field side. First baseman picks it up. Looks like he broke his bat on that one, so he'll go over and try and get a new piece of lumber. He just kind of tossed it off there for a second there. I thought he was upset and thought he was out, but no, his bat's broken, so he's got to get a fresh piece of wood. So he'll step back in. Like you said, Searcy 2-for-3 tonight, hoping to continue his good fortune with bases loaded and two out. The delivery, and he swings and misses on an off-speed pitch. He thought it hit the dirt, but it didn't. Makes its way into Ethan Williams' glove, and the Colts work out of a jam, and Hayden Nichols has got to be happy with that. So as we head into the bottom of the seventh, remember, folks, Lucky Miller's Deli Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. Call 691-4333 to place your order or go online. With that, we're going to go the seventh inning stretch while we go to the break. We'll see you in just a sec.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Colt 45s versus the Fairfield Indians, where your Colts lead 4-3 as we head into the bottom of the seventh. We've got the 3, 4, and 5 spots coming up. Bryce Tweet, who has homered and walked and flown out tonight. Wyatt Reginato, and then his Blake Tweet, the brother of Bryce, coming up third. So he's hitting in the 5 hole this evening. We've got Arthur Adams returning to the mound for the Fairfield Indians. He's been struggling, and mightily so, I must say. And so we'll see what happens in this half of the seventh inning. So the crowd enjoying the game so far. We've got a full house tonight. Temperature in the 70s now. It's been a beautiful day for baseball here on this Father's Day. And this is Ken White with my son, Austin White, who has graciously allowed me to call the game tonight. Adams delivers for ball one, and now he wants a new baseball. So the umpire inspecting the old one.
That was a called strike, by the way.
It was. Thought it was a ball. So Tweet down 0-1. Adams delivers, and Tweet gets it out way on the end of the bat and hits it far foul. So now Bryce Tweet down 0-2 here in the bottom of the seventh. Adams working slowly from the windup. Reginato on deck. Winds up, delivers. And that one's high and outside. Fastball for ball one. So Adams surprising us here, jumping ahead in the count. Having a rough outing earlier in the week. Brings the count even with that pitch. Ball two. So while he jumped ahead of Tweet, he's quickly evened the count. Tweet looking for something he can get a hold of here. So Adams winds and delivers. And that one hits the outside corner for a called strike three. You don't see Tweet looking at pitches like that very often.
No, but he obviously didn't think that one was a strike. He exchanged a few words with the umpires. He walked away from the plate there. He's a little disappointed in that call. But either way, he's going to be put away, and that'll bring up Wyatt Reginato.
So Reginato has had two hits and two walks tonight. Or excuse me, one hit and two walks tonight. He had a hit in the second and then was caught stealing and then has walked twice since then. That ball in the dirt for ball one from Adams gets past the catcher, so we'll wait for them to retrieve it and get it back out to Adams on the mound. Adams definitely working slow here.
Yeah, and that's just typically how Adams is. He's not a guy who's going to work real quick up there on the mound. He has a slow delivery. He has a slow setup.
Reginato, the lefty, watches one hit the outside part of the plate for strike two. Excuse me, strike one. That evens the count at one apiece. Adams delivers in the dirt for ball two. So Adams' body language says he wants to work fast, but he just isn't. Although he's ready to go, shakes off the first sign from the catcher, now winds and delivers. And that's high and away for ball three. So he falls behind now to Reginato, 3-1. Reginato, good hitter. Here comes the pitch. He puts this one out. The left fielder is making chase, and it's foul, but not by much. Maybe a few feet foul deep into the left field corner, down by the 320 mark on the fence. Had that stayed fair, that would have been extra bases. So Reginato will make his way back to the plate where the catcher stands his bat up on the plate. Reginato grabs it, readies himself, steps back into the box. Adams has been ready this whole time, looks in, shakes off his first sign for the catcher, now gets something he likes, delivers, and that too is strike three, and he punches out Reginato as well. So three called strikes send two Colt hitters packing, and that'll bring up Blake Tweet. Number seven, who's hitting in the five hole for the Colts. So not what you'd expect from the meat of the order. Blake Tweed, a right-hander, unlike his brother, the lefty. Steps in. The pitch from Adams. In the dirt. Ball one. Adams kind of pounds his chest like that was on me. Licks his fingers. Rubs up the ball. Umpire tosses an extra over to the ball boy, Wyatt. Tweet steps in. The delivery from Adams. An off-speed pitch, and Tweet way out in front, fouls it off for strike one. 1-1 now to Tweet. Adams getting a new ball from the umpire who has trouble getting it out to him. Ball lands in front of him, but Adams fields it. Looks like a pretty fresh ball. Adams rubbing it up pretty good. 1-1 count to tweet. We're ready to go. Adams looks in, shakes off the catcher, winds and delivers, and tweets. Big swing and a miss from Tweet for strike two. He was looking to put something over the fence with that one. Tweet adjusting his gloves and taking a deep breath, stepping back in. 1-2 count. And that one is low and in the dirt. Gets past the catcher, so the umpire's looking for some more baseballs. Ball goes back to the pitcher. Here comes Wyatt with about three baseballs. And umpire putting him in his bag, and Adams getting ready for his next pitch. So, Adams surprising you this inning?
A little bit. I don't know. I kind of feel like the ball has been in the Colt 45's court. I'm not real impressed with the pitching here from Adams. He has done a much better job of hitting his spots than he did in the first game of the series. Still, I think the Colts have just failed to capitalize on a couple of opportunities here.
So the count full as Adams delivers, and that one in the dirt, and Blake Tweet has himself a walk. So Tweet did a good job there going down in the count and working it full, and then taking that ball in the dirt, makes a trip down to first base, and that'll bring up Ethan Williams. Ethan Williams grounded out, flew out, and grounded out again. He's looking for his first hit of the night. So Williams hitting in the six hole, the catcher for the Colt 45s. He's done a good job behind the plate tonight. Tweet taking a pretty strong lead at first. Adams, the righty, with his back to first, sets and delivers. And Williams not happy with that. He flies it up, pops it up. Second baseman in shallow right center field makes the catch for out number three. And with that, the Colts are retired, and we'll go to the top of the eighth. So Lucky Miller's Deli and Market is tonight's sponsor of the Reading Colt 45's baseball team and baseball game. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors. You can place your order by calling 530-691-4333 or going online. And with that, we'll go to a short break and be right back.
The popular Big Daddy Burger is back at Black Bear Diner. This massive burger sports two 10-ounce patties and a 6-inch sesame seed bun. Add two onion rings, a fried egg, bacon, cheese, pickles, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and dressing. And, well, you've got a burger challenge. This month, only at Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Thank you.
So welcome back, folks, to the Reading Colt 45s, where they lead 4-3 against the Fairfield Indians. We're in the top of the eighth inning. Indians looking to tie or maybe even take the lead this inning. And we'll have the 3, 4, and 5 hitters for the Indians coming up. Ike Brown, Carson Williams, and Greg Weiss, which are their third baseman designated hitter and right fielder. We've got, for the Colt 45s, Isaac Horseman taking the mound. What do we know about Isaac, Austin?
Well, Horseman is typically a starter for the Colt 45s. He's got a lot of velocity. Big guy. He's about 6 feet, 5 inches. He's got a full beard. He's probably the manliest guy on the team. And, well, his arm shows it as well.
Yeah, manly, I think, is a probably good description. He looks like something out of an old Western. Big, long, curly hair, big beard, and definitely a big guy. So we'll see what Horseman delivers here in the top of the eighth, as the Colts continue to try and hang on to that 4-3 lead, and the Indians try and take it away. So during the break, the Colts here have a 50-50 drawing to raise money for Jackie Scarry, who is the California Miss Rodeo Queen candidate, and she's got to make a trip to go compete. And the winner just donated his tank of gas, as Austin put it, and he won $221, which buy you about a tank of gas. But instead of buying gas, he donated it back to help her with her cause. So well done. With that, we'll see Ike Brown.
It's actually not going to be Ike Brown. We've got a replacement, and it's going to be Braxton King, number 8, standing up at the plate. King was, he's been the starting shortstop for most of the series against the Colt 45s.
What was his first name again?
Braxton King.
So Braxton King, wearing a number 8, takes high for ball 1. Horseman delivers, and a swing through from Braxton King for strike 1. So that'll even the count. And we'll see what King can do against Horseman. Horseman delivers, and King fouls it off high and out of play. So now 1-2, and Horseman's ahead slightly in the count. King, not a small man himself, looks like he's about 6'2". Horseman shaking off Williams, finds something he likes, delivers, and that ball is high to bring the count even, 2-2. Have we seen King this series? Again, I'm new.
Yeah, as I said, when he came in, he's been the shortstop for most of the series against the Colt 45s.
So
he's been pretty solid at the plate. Last night he was 1-for-4. It was kind of a rough outing. He had a few strikeouts. 1-for-3, however, the night before. So, you know, he's been getting quite a few hits on the series, but, you know, nothing too much to talk about.
So King had fouled off a pitch there, and then just now takes high for ball 3. So he's worked the count full. Horseman in the windup. The pitch, and he punches him out. And King walks back to the dugout, head down and dejected. Well, maybe just frustrated. Horseman does a great job of bringing a fastball across the plate there and strikes out King. So that'll bring up Carson Williams, the designated hitter. Williams, definitely a bigger build and looks like he has some power, but he's grounded out twice and only has one base hit this evening. He puts one in play to the shortstop. Camacho throws and over to Norton, and Norton receives it well, and that puts Williams down for out number 2. So that brings up Greg Weiss, the right fielder for the Indians, number 15. Weiss with a strikeout, a home run, and another strikeout. So he struck out twice, but he put one over the fence to help keep this game close for the Indians. Horseman delivers. What looked a little bit low, umpire calls strike 1. Fastball in there, just around the knees. Horseman nods before even Williams is set up behind the plate. And that ball is hit high and deep to center field. The center fielder looks like it's going to be able to play it on the track. Makes the catch for out number 3. And with that, the Colt 45s will bring it back in here in the 8th. Remember, Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location. In case you haven't heard it yet, 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. Call 530-691-4333 to place your order. And we'll be right back after this.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number 1, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number 2, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in 2 locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Welcome back, everyone. We are in the bottom of the eighth inning where the Colt 45s lead the Fairfield Indians 4-3. We'll see the bottom of the order from the Colt 45s. Derek Ray, the designated hitter, followed by Giacomo Crosetti and Isaiah Cortez. Colts looking to add on to their lead here. The Indians keeping this one close, surprisingly so, considering the pitching. We have to say that Connor Irvine in the first part of the game was pitching absolute lights out. He had 7 strikeouts through 4 innings, faced the minimum, and then was replaced by, I believe it was Alex Alvarez, and then most recently Isaac Horseman. Now on the mound for the Indians, for the third inning is Arthur Adams, who hasn't looked all that great, but he's been getting the job done. Colt 45s have been frustrated. What appears to be the secret sauce for the Indians pitching tonight has been changing the velocity. They've been throwing a lot of mixing it up between fastballs and off-speed pitches. And despite not looking real strong, they've been getting the job done. Adams delivers here to Derek Ray. That one in the dirt for ball one. So Ray looking for the pitch from Adams. Adams delivers. And that one also low and away for ball two. So would you agree it's been a difference in styles between the two teams tonight as far as their pitching is concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, the Reading Colt 45s throughout the game have looked more dominant. You know, obviously there was a little bit of a rough stint in there with Alex Alvarez, but, you know, Isaac Horseman and Caden Nichols both getting the job done without allowing any runs. Here for the Indians, however, it seems like they just struggle every inning as there is a 3-1 count to Derek Ray. It's kind of representative of every first batter the Indians see. It's a lot of balls and not a lot of strikes, but the Colt 45s haven't just been able to capitalize as much as they should be.
No, they've been aggressive in their swings and sometimes maybe too much so. With that, as ball four to Derek Ray, so he takes a trip down to first base. Adams giving up yet another walk. Indians have had a number of them tonight.
Yeah, there's about 6 walks on the game, plus a hit batter as well for the Colt 45s. So it's 7 free bases given up by this Indians pitching staff. And that's actually relatively low compared to what we've seen through the series. So like I said, I mean, their pitching has just been struggling throughout the entire series.
So there's another example, an off-speed pitch pops up. Crosetti, the third baseman over, takes it and puts Crosetti away. And so that'll be out number one for the Colts. Ray stays at first. But again, an off-speed pitch from Adams. Nothing fancy there, but definitely crossed up Crosetti, who was way out in front and pops it up. So Adams, again, effective, not dominant, but effective. And that'll bring up Isaiah Cortez, the second baseman for the Colts, and he swings through and misses strike one. The temperature is cooled down here, probably in the 70s. Sun has gone down, so most of the outfielders not having to worry about the sun in their eyes any longer. And Cortez check swings and gets a piece, and now he's down 0-2. So, again, not a dominant pitch, but one Cortez didn't want to swing at, but got a piece of it nonetheless. So Cortez stands in, down in the count, 0-2. You've got Ray at first, not taking a big lead. They're holding him on. Adams working from the stretch, sets, delivers, and that ball way high and outside for ball one. So 1-2 to Cortez. Cortez, a lefty. Ray not taking a big lead at first. And he pops up Cortez. Again, the third baseman, the shortstop out into shallow left field, makes the catch, and 2 outs now for the Colt 45s. So that'll bring up shortstop, the hot-hitting Arif Camacho, who's been a little bit frustrated with the exception of one double tonight. He walked in the first, flew out in the third, hit a double in the fifth, which was nice to see, and then flew out in the sixth. So he's 1-for-4 tonight and looking to bring Ray across if he can get something going here. Adams delivers. Ray goes. The throw down, not in time, kind of trickles out into, in fact, kind of off the mark and trickles out into center field. Ray is able to take second base. What'd you see there?
Well, I don't know how else to put it other than how you just did. It was a bit of a slow delivery from Adams, just a poor throw from the catcher Nunez. Offline, low, in the dirt, not much chance there for any sort of out.
So Camacho takes the pitch now from Adams, also in the dirt, and he'll be now ahead in the count, 2-0. So Camacho's got to be looking fastball here, you think?
Well, I don't think you can really expect what he's going to throw here. I mean, what I've seen from this Indians pitching staff is when their fastball isn't working, like Adams isn't here in this at-bat, he's thrown it a couple times in the dirt now, they might switch to an off-speed, even with two balls and no strikes, especially when you get to this level. They're not in high school anymore. They're not just going to throw fastballs when they need a strike.
And Camacho gets a hold of that one, but it goes foul. Hard line drive down the left field side. Gets all the way to the fence, but definitely foul. So Camacho now with two balls and one strike will reset and try and do some damage. But Camacho did almost a good job of waiting on that pitch. He definitely looked like he was waiting on that one, or looking for that one, I should say.
Well, and that's the thing. Camacho really excels against high-velocity pitching, and that's just not what this Indians staff really has to offer in most of their pitchers.
And Camacho reaches out on an off-speed pitch there, sends it over the third baseman, dives, gloves it, but can't make the play. So Camacho on with what I think is an infield single. We'll see if they rule it the same. That was a really nice dive by the third baseman, but definitely couldn't get up and with the fast-running Camacho get a playoff.
Yeah, they are going to rule that a single indeed, and it was definitely a good job by Camacho. Again, he's got deadly speed over there now on first base, and I wouldn't even be surprised if they decided to send him. We've seen a couple of poor throws from the catcher Nunez already tonight, and I would not be surprised in the least if they sent Camacho, but they're not going to.
And that first pitch inside for ball one to Kyle Norton. Norton, the lefty first baseman for the Colt 45s. Stepping in, he too is looking for a hit. He's struggled at the plate tonight, grounded out twice and flown out twice. So he's looking for his first hit of the evening. On that last play, Ray moved over to third, and with that, Camacho goes. Looks like Norton has put one up in the air to center field. He comes in to shallow. The center fielder comes in shallow, makes the catch for out number three. So with that, the threat from the Colts is put to bed, and we'll go to the top of the ninth. The Indians looking to try and catch up here to the Colts. The Colts looking to hang on. And remember, Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market features sandwiches, burgers, pizza, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad, and a whole lot more. It includes dessert, in fact. You can get dessert at Lucky Miller's. You can eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. We'll come back right after this.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back, everyone. We're in the top of the ninth. The Colt 45s leading the Fairfield Indians by just a single run, 4-3 in the top of the ninth, with Isaac Horseman on the mound trying to get the save. At the plate is Eric Thomas, who takes high for ball one. So this has definitely been a faster game than almost anything we've seen this season so far.
Yeah, we're about just around 2 hours and 20 minutes as this game seems to be coming to a close, given the Indians fail to score here.
Thomas swings and fouls one off. They count 1-1 now. Horseman looking for the save here, up by just one run. From the windup, delivers, and Thomas swings and fouls one off deep into the right field side of the near the Indians' bullpen. So he's down 1-2. Thomas, 1-for-3 tonight. He's struck out, flown out, and had a single in the seventh. He swings and misses. The ball gets in the dirt. Catcher picks it up, tosses down to Norton. Nice throw by Williams there to get Thomas, and with that, one out here in the top of the ninth. Williams did a nice job on that.
Yeah, I know. He dropped down to his knees quick, squared it away, blocked it right out in front. Then, just like you're taught as a catcher, took a few steps out in front of the plate and threw a textbook throw on over to first base to Norton.
And Horseman delivers high for ball one to Victor Vega. Vega, the sleight of build shortstop, wearing number 21, takes ball two. Vega is 0-for-3 tonight, grounded out, flew out, and then struck out in the seventh. So Vega also looking for his first hit of the night. He fouls one off straight back. When you see that, you know he's got his timing down. What do you think Horseman will throw when you see something like that?
I think he'll stick with the fastball, if I'm being completely honest. 2-1 count. Horseman knows he's got a good fastball, and I don't think Vega's going to catch up.
And Vega doesn't. He is late on that one, but fouls it off out into the parking lot on the right side. Horseman seems mad at himself. I'm thinking he may have felt like he missed his mark on that, but that evens the count to Vega. 2-2. Horseman delivers an off-speed pitch, and Vega just reaches out and grabs a hold of that and drops it into shallow center field for a base hit. Not a lot of muscle, not a lot of velocity, but he gets on base.
Yeah, well, Horseman just kind of missed a spot there with the curveball. That fastball was working for him, but Vega making contact with it a couple times. He thought with two strikes, he'll really try to fool him, and he kind of did. Vega jumped out in front of that one, but, you know, his hands came through the zone. They were through the zone for a long time, just like you want as a hitter, and allowed him to get a nice little knockout into center field.
So with that, it brings up a pinch hitter, number 10. And I'm waiting to see who that might be.
It'll be Greg Ryan.
Greg Ryan. So Greg Ryan standing in, a lefty. And Tweet playing way off the line in right field, giving it to Ryan. And Horseman holding Vega on there. Throws over. Vega back in time. And this gentleman's name again?
Greg Ryan.
Greg Ryan. So Ryan waits for Horseman's pitch. And that one on the outside corner, a fastball for strike one.
That's strike two.
Sorry, I was catching up. The scoreboard was catching up, and I was catching up with the scoreboard. So strike two. So Ryan now down in the count, 0-2. Horseman sets from the stretch, delivers. Ryan puts it in play between the shortstop. No, the shortstop makes a diving catch. Wow, what an amazing catch by Camacho, but everyone is safe. Camacho kept that ball on the infield, but just too deep and too far and couldn't make the play. So the Indians now with two runners on, one out, are threatening that one-run lead that the Colt 45s have.
Yeah, and I don't think Isaac Horseman is too concerned here. I mean, he's got runners at first and second with Justin out, but he's a solid enough pitcher to where I truly believe he can come back in here and shut down the rest of the lineup. I mean, that was really just a lucky hit. It wasn't anything with high velocity. It just got into a little bit of a hole. Again, Camacho had a great stop there.
A little more velocity, that would have gotten through. Like you said, that was a weakly hit ball, which allowed Camacho to get to it. But it was an amazing play by Camacho. Horseman, Williams goes out and talks to Horseman. They're getting back into position now. What do you think Williams is telling him right there?
I think he's just reassuring him and letting him know that, well, he's got this. There's no one else they'd rather have out onto the mound right now. I mean, Horseman, again, he's usually one of their ace starters. So, I mean, I don't think there's a better guy for the job here.
So, with that, we have a right-handed pitch hitter for Justin Bostain, who was 1-for-3.
Yeah, it's going to be DeAndre Gaines.
DeAndre pops it up. Ah, looks like it's out of play. First baseman Norton makes chase but can't catch up to it.
Gaines has been the center fielder for most of the series here against the Colt 45s. Tonight he was replaced by center fielder Eric Thomas. Thomas has really had a phenomenal game out there in center field. He's been tracking down balls left and right, making plays for the Indians.
So Vega on second. Oh, we see Derek Johnson put something in play, and it drops foul just offside the line. That one was just behind first base at the grass, and drops foul by maybe a foot. So Gaines swinging on that pitch will go down 0-2. So I was about to say you've got Vega on second, Greg Ryan on first. So the Indians with two on and one out. Gaines trying to make something happen here and tie or put the Indians up. He swings through, big swing and a miss. Horseman has a strikeout and the second out of the inning. So Horseman's got to be happy with that. That'll bring up Mickey Nunez, the leadoff hitter, assuming we don't have another pinch hitter. So Nunez hitting left-handed, pretty much the last hope for the Indians here. They're down to their last out here in the top of the ninth. Horseman looking for the save. Williams set up. And first pitch fastball in there for a strike one. So Nunez has flown out twice and was hit by a pitch, struck out. So he's 4 plate appearances and 0-for-3 tonight. And Horseman looks in. They're holding him on at second. Throws an off-speed curveball up the middle to, oh, and it's past the shortstop who kind of cut off the second baseman. That'll score the tying run. The Indians have a run across and have tied the game. I'm guessing that's going to be an error. What do you think, Austin?
No, yeah, that's going to be an error for sure. And they are rolling it up there on the scoreboard. It'll be an E6. Camacho there just trying to do too much. The goal should have been to stop that ball from getting out of the infield, just pick it up and hold it. However, Camacho trying to make a phenomenal play on the run, bobbles it and lets it squirt away onto the outfield and lets that tying run come across. So a crucial error there from that middle infield. And
so Horseman not only irritated with that, and you've got to be frustrated. He's got a blown save now in the book, even though it wasn't his fault. But he's even more frustrated that the Indians are taking a long time to decide who they're going to send up to the plate. In fact, so much time that they've decided to play some music in the background here. Horseman literally waving his hat at the Indians, like, let's hurry it up here. And that'll bring up number 46.
Yeah, that's Cameron Appling coming up to the plate. And Appling is one of the biggest guys on this Indians team. He had a home run in the first game of the series, coming in to pinch it on that one as well. Now a little plate meeting, a mound meeting between Williams and Horseman. They're trying to figure out what to do. And, yeah, if I'm Horseman up there, I'm a little bit irritated. He has unfortunately given up the tying run by no fault of his own.
And Camacho, who's really a stellar shortstop, like you said, just trying to do too much. I think if that had gone through and to the second baseman, they probably would have gotten the out at first. But as it was, he kind of cut off the second baseman, and it dribbles through. the error now allows the Indians to tie the score. They have runners at first and second with two outs. And Appling, is that his name?
Cameron Appling.
Now pinch hitting for Robert Searcy. Searcy was hot, though. He was 2-for-4 tonight. And so Appling, though, with some power, they're looking to get another run across and hopefully take the lead here. Horseman delivers. That ball in the dirt a little bit. And ball one. Horseman loses his hat on that one. He's trying to get a little extra oomph behind his pitches.
Yeah, the goal here now is just to limit the damage. Again, you've got runners at first and second once again with two outs here. This is going to be a big out. They do not want to give up the lead here in the top of the ninth inning.
Horseman delivers a big swing and a miss at a high fastball from Horseman. That'll even the count at 1-1. Appling with a big swing there, but the pitch way out of the strike zone and up around the chin of Appling. Horseman sets in the stretch, looks over at second, now delivers. And Appling pops it up to the infield. The third baseman coming over, and he's got it. And that'll end the half of the inning, and the Colts are now with the score tied, looking to come out and walk it off in the ninth. Remember, folks, Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors. You can get pizza, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad, dessert, and a whole lot more. Call 530-691-4333. We'll see you in the bottom of the ninth right after this.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're in the bottom of the ninth. Score tied. The Colt 45s looking to walk it off here. They unfortunately allowed a run in the top half of the inning to allow the Indians to tie the score 4-4 on an error. I'm not sure who they gave the error to. It looked like maybe the second baseman, Arif Camacho, had made a wide-ranging run over toward the second base side of the field to pick up a soft ground ball. Couldn't quite get there, and then looked like he cut off the view of the second baseman who missed the ball, and that allowed a run to score. And so the Indians tied up the game, and the Colt 45s are looking to the heart of the order. We've got 3, 4, and 5 coming up to try and make something happen and take home yet another win. The Colts have only 2 losses on the season. Am I right with that, Austin?
3.
3.
They had 2 to their first opponent, the Santa Rosa Rosebuds, and then they fell once to the Medford Rogues.
So this looks to be almost a repeat of last night's game, but the score a little different. Last night, the Colts were able to get a run across and win the game 10-9 after the Indians had tied it up late in the game. And so here, once again, the Colts looking to do some damage here in the bottom of the ninth. We've got Bryce Tweet, then Wyatt Reginato, and then second of the Tweet brothers, Blake, coming up this inning. So what should we expect, Austin?
Well, I don't know if you can really expect anything here. I mean, obviously, the Colt 45s are really going to want to get just one run across. I think they'll be doing everything in their power to be aggressive right off the bat. But now with the heart of the order coming up.
So we've got a pitching change for the Indians, too, number 12. See if we can find out who that is for you. That's Cole Santos. So Santos, a lefty, facing Tweet, the lefty. here in the bottom of the ninth. No outs. Tweet leading off. And the pitch. Low and kind of off the plate for ball one. So Santos not showing a lot of velocity in his first pitch. Have we seen him yet this year, Austin?
Yeah, Santos we've seen in the series. He's probably been one of the better pitchers for the Indians. Typically shows more control than the rest of the staff. And he's been able to throw some really great innings here for the Indians, especially in the games in which other pitchers are struggling.
So that one, that pitch ball high for ball two. Tweet ahead in the count. Swings an off-speed pitch. Swings through for strike one. Again, these Indian pitchers have done a very good job of varying their velocity and throwing, keeping the Colt hitters off balance. So that one, an off-speed pitch, had Tweet way out in front. So here we go again. The windup, the delivery. And Tweet out in front that time. Fouls it on the ground to the right side. For strike two. So an even count now, 2-2 to Bryce Tweet, who has a home run tonight, a walk, and is a flyout and a strikeout besides that. So we'll see what Tweet can do here in the bottom of the ninth. Leading off the pitch, he puts one up in the air but out of play, fouled off to the left side. So he's working all areas of the field here, trying to make something happen. So it'll stay. The count will stay 2-2 to Tweet. If you're Tweet, what might you be expecting on this pitch?
Well, once again, I mean, I don't think you can really expect anything. I would be sitting off speed here, but you do not want to get a fastball blown by you. Luckily, Tweet, he's got good reaction time, so I don't think he's worried about that.
The pitch, and you're right, off-speed pitch it was, and Tweet way out in front, fouls it off for the count, will stay 2-2. So this has been a really fun at bat to watch. Tweet fighting off some great pitches here and working the count pretty hard. So Santos taking his time. He winds now, delivers, and that ball in the dirt. So Tweet showing some great discipline here and works the count full. So with the count full, leadoff hitter, you still thinking off-speed here?
Well, I don't think, like I said earlier, I don't think you're really expecting anything. I would be expecting something somewhere in the zone is really all I'm thinking.
And Tweet does and lines it out into straightaway center field for a base hit. So the Colts have the go-ahead run on the bases with, you can hear it over the loudspeaker. Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman, comes up. He's also hitting left-handed.
And I wouldn't be surprised at all right now if they wanted to go ahead and give a bunt to Reginato.
Reginato with two walks, a single, and a strikeout tonight. And you're right, small ball might be the way to go. They're just trying to manufacture a run and go home.
Especially when you've got no outs like this, a runner on first base, a sacrifice bunt here could be all the difference. Like you said, just one run is needed to walk off this game.
And the speedy and he's hit by a pitch. So now Reginato takes a trip down to first. And the pitcher arguing that he leaned into it, frustrated, and he definitely did not. He just turned around and took it. So the Colts now with two runners on and nobody out. The second of the Tweet brothers, Blake, the right fielder, comes up to the plate. So no outs, and Santos right away in trouble.
Yeah, he is in a little bit of a trouble here. Well, actually, I would say more than a little bit. He's got runners on first and second. All Blake Tweet really needs to do here is get a base hit. Now manager Shannon Parks is going to call time and head out to the mound.
So the Indians, nobody in the bullpen, if they don't bring in a position player, it looks like it's going to be Santos all the way. So Santos definitely struggling here. Tweet getting that base hit, working the count full, and now the hit by pitch puts Reginato on. So you got Tweet on second, Reginato on first, and the Indians' entire outfield at the mound. Blake Tweet sitting in the on-deck circle waiting for the conference meeting to come to an end. The umpire going out there to see if he can make that happen. What are you telling your pitcher at this point?
Well, I'm sure they're just talking about, you know, what's going on. A little bit of strategy, a little bit of consoling, and maybe some comforting as well. They're just trying to make sure he still has his confidence because, you know, with runners at first and second, you can, well, there's, actually, I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble with my words here. You are going to be a little bit scattered and a little bit shaken. So manager Shannon Parks really just wants to go out and make sure his pitcher, Santos, has it together and has full confidence in himself, because confidence is really the only thing that's going to get him through these next couple of batters.
So Blake Tweet, the second of the two brothers to come up this inning at the plate. It's a fresh count, nobody out. Santos now with two runners on, sets, the lefty delivers, and that pitch is outside for ball one. So he's got to be looking for something on the ground that maybe could turn a double play or at least get the lead runner at third. Santos working fast here, delivers again. The runners go, the throw down to third. Not in time, into third, into left field. He bobbles the ball. Tweet scores, and the Colts walk it off. They win 5-4 on the errant throw from the catcher into left field. Tough loss for the Indians.
Yeah, and that was probably one of the most anticlimactic walk-offs you'll ever see.
A disappointing win, if you will, for the Colts. But they're excited to walk it off and head home. A very fast game tonight, fairly decent pitching. And thank you for letting me sit in here on Father's Day and call with you, Austin. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. That was indeed a great win from the Colt 45. They're able to take the sweep against this Fairfield Indians ball club. And now we'll move on to the next one. They just have one day off before they head into a five-game stretch.
So next game Tuesday at 7:15, am I right?
You are correct.
And so tune in to Austin on Tuesday night, 7:15, where he'll be calling the next game for the Colt 45s. They win two in a row now and two by one run in a row, sweep the Indians, and now with only three losses on the season are looking strong as they pick up their next game on Tuesday at 7:15. Thanks again, Austin, for letting me sit in.
Absolutely. And with that, I'm Austin White here with my partner Ken White, and we'll see you on Tuesday, folks.
Be careful, otherwise you'll be bloviating in a vacuum.
Yes, you know what, that. Who needs a vacuum?
You know I'm right. I mean, doesn't it come down to that? Think about it.
Right. And you know what? Here's a philosophy. I don't think we've ever talked about this on the air. People ask me oftentimes, what is the secret to me in my continuing conversation? One of the things that comes to mind, and this is not true of the newer folks because they don't have the background that you and I do, being from music radio. I don't want a conversation on my program to last longer than a record does. So the average record is 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes. So if I have a conversation that's longer than that, it better be pretty stimulating. Otherwise, I'm moving on to the next record. What, do you think that's because we came out of talk radio? I mean, because we came out of music radio? That I think that?
Yeah, to a certain degree. Look, the fact that we're doing a countdown of subjects, isn't that influenced by music radio?
Oh, yes.
I mean, come on.
I remember, I interviewed Casey Kasem once about this. And he said, because I told him, you know, he didn't know there was a talk radio countdown show. He said, there is? And I said, yeah, and it's modeled after what you do. And he was very flattered by that. Talkers Magazine and the list of people who are on the top of mind in discussions for the week of June 13th to the 17th, courtesy of the folks editing and publishing Talkers Magazine, the staff there. At number 10 on the people list is Tony Fauci. Notice I didn't say phony Fauci, but that's what I was thinking. Elon Musk is number 9. Putin and Xi Jinping, number 8, tied for that position. Brett Kavanaugh, still in his problems, focus on him because of the threats, number 7. Ron DeSantis in the spotlight, the governor of Florida, number 6. Jenny Thomas, wife of the Supreme Court Justice, in kind of the hot seat at number 5. Liz Cheney at number 4. Jerome Powell is three. Donald Trump is in the second position, and I think weakening somewhat. And then Joe Biden is the number one. Always wondering what it is that's next. He's going to the Middle East, I think, this coming week. So there'll be lots to talk about with regard to that here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. All right, we have continuing conversation here. Stick around. Michael and I continue in a matter of moments.
I'm Greg. I'm 68 years old. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, majored in business administration. I do motivational speaking in addition to substitute teaching. Part of the reason for my motivational speaking is I kind of feel like I have a calling or giving back to the younger generation. You know, the golden rule is do unto others you'd have them do unto you. My wife, Wanda, is a senior flight attendant. She's been flying for over 30 years. We do laugh quite a bit. I think most adults will start realizing that they don't recall things as quickly as they used to, or they don't remember things as vividly as they once did. I've been taking Prevagen for about 3 years now. People say to me periodically, man, you got a memory like an elephant. It's really, really helped me tremendously.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Greg Fraley is a paid testimonialist and real Prevagen user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
American Heart Association Health Beat. I'm Mariah Hoberman. It's important to stay safe while having fun in the water. Dr. Annie Ahrens, emergency medicine physician at Hennepin County Medical Center in Minneapolis, is here with water safety tips.
This summer, be sure to teach your children water safety and make sure everyone in your family is trained in hands-only CPR. If you have a pool, be sure to install fencing with self-closing gates at least 4 feet high to separate the pool from the house and the yard.
Drowning is the second leading cause of death in children aged 1 to 4.
If this emergency occurs, the American Heart Association recommends calling 911 and administering rescue breaths along with chest compressions. Make sure you have a family safety plan, learn to swim, and remember life jackets. Half of all boating deaths could be prevented with their use.
Find out where you can learn hands-only CPR and get additional water safety tips at heart.org.
For me, the greatest benefit over the years has been that Prevagen seems to help me recall things and also think more clearly, have a crisper ability to remember and think through things. And I enthusiastically recommend Prevagen. It has helped me an awful lot.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Robert Strickler is a content contributor for Prevagen and real user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouth-watering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Steffen here with the list of the top stories this week, so you'll have them. Oftentimes we get in our discussions on both the Talk Radio Review and the Countdown, and we don't get to each of the stories. So here's the list, the official list. At 10, the overview of the Talk Radio convention that we had last week. Lots of hosts there and lots of hosts talking about it. The situation with weather is number 9. Social media is in the 8th place. Race relations, number 7. Crime, violence, guns, number 6. Number 5, the war. Is there, I don't have to say the Russian-Ukrainian war, right? We all know what the war is. Number 4 is the continuing, we're at war with ourselves over COVID-19 information. What to do, what not to do, what to take, what not to take. Amazing. Number 3, the committee that's having hearings on what happened. Well, the fact they stopped the hearings, January 6th hearings, that's the story. Number two, partisan politics. And number one, the national economy. That's the list. All right, so Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine, the specialty shows. You know, we talk a lot about the things that go on Monday through Friday, the weekend stuff. We got about a minute. There are a lot of good weekend shows now, and I thought it was neat. It was kind of neat to have some of those profiled, as they some of them become more and more important, right?
I think weekends are one of the most important elements on the broadcast schedule, and for many years, radio stations have undervalued their weekends by having shows on that are not necessarily cream of the crop. So right. I think that there's a new awareness of the importance of weekends for listening. Some of the highest rated shows are on the weekends, and radio stations should continue to think about putting their best foot forward on the weekends as well as Monday to Friday. And at nights as well. Nighttime radio as well.
It's like, it seemed like for a while everybody was being discounted, and that's not a good idea because the weekends are important, as you've said. All right, Michael, thank you. Join me again next week here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required. Refund available for 60 days after purchase.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hymns.com/joy. You'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. Results are guaranteed or your money back. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hymns.com/joy. That's 4hymns.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
53 past the hour now on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Steffen here with Stephen J.J. Wiseman, a fixture on the Talk Radio Countdown program. I don't know, does that mean you've been doing this for a long time, so do you figure you could be a fixture? I think you could be.
Could be. It's like lawyers are always practicing law. I guess when we get it right, we can stop.
Yeah, right. And stop charging people so much for your learning experience. There's another end to that story. College professor, professor of law and lawyer, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, with a focus on some of the issues, the stories this week. I also want to have a moment because you're the founder of Scamicide.com, the website, which is all about the dangers of scams and how much more of this stuff is going on with regard to raising money for the Ukrainians. And I don't know, I think it's worth a moment each time we think about this to understand, for example, this week I was looking at some of the social media stuff that is all about. One of the things on the countdown, number 8, by the way, is the social media world and how the scams affect people. It's so prolific. They're so good at it. Now, it's hard to know, at least if you're responding to something online, Steve, what's real and what isn't.
Yeah, it's just about impossible, actually. And that's a tough thing. And the scammers, they're always taking advantage of anything that has the public interest and the best feelings of the public. You know, you want to help the families of the shootings in Texas. You want to help the people of Ukraine. And so you're contacted on social media. You're contacted on the phone. And you're contacted through an email or a text message. You can never be sure who is actually contacting you. And sometimes, you know, it's a total scam name. Other times, they may be posing as a legitimate charity. So as far as helping out the people of Ukraine, what I suggest is a great website called charitynavigator.org. Now, you can get two things there. One, you will go and you'll find out if that charity is a legitimate charity, and also, if it's a legitimate charity, where you can really contact the real people and not the scammers. But you'll also find, as you and I have discussed many times, so-called even legitimate charities, and there are a lot of these popping up with Ukraine, too, who are keeping the lion's share of the money for themselves for administrative fees and costs and salaries. So you just can't trust these, you know, these tears on our heartstrings. I saw one on TikTok, and this person was pleading for assistance, and you could hear gunfire. But if you looked really closely, all of the cars on the street where this was going on were in the UK. They all had UK license plates. So unless there is a London neighborhood in Ukraine, people who paid on that one were getting scammed.
Getting really scammed. But most people aren't sophisticated enough to know the difference between they know kind of European license plates. You don't know the difference between a German one and a British one and a Ukrainian one. That's the problem. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Now, into the immigration department and some of the things that are going on. It seems to me like we're not even talking about it because we're so wrapped up in Russia and COVID still and January 6th that the legalities of people coming in here, what they do with them. I had there was one country, and I'm trying to remember which one I did a story about this week, that has done a great job with immigration in the fact that they embrace people if they are going to contribute something. And there's an efficient line that brings everybody into focus that, you know, isn't necessarily always it's not always in play here in America, let's put it that way.
Well, you know, you're picking up on a really important aspect of this. And quite frankly, if you look at just the statistics of the birth rate in the United States and the job market, we do need immigrants to come in and do a lot of jobs. And so this is something where I don't think the immigration policy is just a mess.
It's
really done nothing with it. And we do need a better organized immigration, but one that also is looking at people who are going to bring in skills that we've dire need of.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, and the situation here, the focus on the talk radio world, that's what Steve's all about. He teaches classes. Are you doing summer school this year? Do you teach classes in the summertime?
I'm passing on summer school this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, I was thinking I'd take a class with me this summer. That's out of the question.
Terrific.
It would be. How would you handle that? That would be. That's something to think about. Stephen J.J. Wiseman, our lawyer, the college prof from Bentley, one of the leading experts on scams, all good reasons to have him here every week on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show is a production of Stefan Multimedia, produced by Bob K. Sound and Recording.
Why should you trust Brembo Brakes? Because 60 years of racing, testing, braking, and bettering. Because dogs in the road, indecisive squirrels, and that kid chasing the lost ball. Because tiny humans in the back seat and blind turns in front of you. Because every car should be equipped with the same kind of performance, safety, and comfort that manufacturers and professional drivers trust every day. Visit buybrembo.com and learn more about the most trusted brakes in braking.
Shopping for cars online is slow. Checking all those different sites one by one, Auto Tempest doesn't like slow. That's why we sponsor NASCAR driver Chris Buescher in the number 17 Ford Mustang. It's also why we created a powerful search engine that will scour all the top car shopping sites, letting you search used car listings from across the internet in one search. Why waste time searching each site separately? Use AutoTempest instead. Find all the cars. AutoTempest.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostro. U.S. Open, the U.S. opens COVID vaccines to infants, toddlers, and preschoolers, with the shots becoming available this week.
The CDC signed off on Moderna's and Pfizer's child doses Saturday after the FDA authorized it for kids between 6 months and 5 years old. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
We now know, based on rigorous scientific review, that the vaccines available here in the United States can be used safely and effectively in children under five.
About 480 children under the age of five are counted among the nation's more than 1 million COVID deaths, according to federal data.
Vaccinating young children is a critical opportunity to protect them against hospitalization and death.
I'm Julie Walker.
Two men have been charged with murder in a house explosion near St. Louis that authorities say killed four people who were assembling fireworks. The two were charged with second-degree murder. Officials say the two men made explosive devices and directed younger people to load canisters with explosives and attach a fuse for lighting. They're being held on $350,000 bail. Projections are showing French President Macron's alliance has received the most seats in the final round of the parliamentary election, but the alliance lost its majority.
Polls are being held nationwide to select members of the National Assembly, the most powerful branch of France's parliament. Predictions based on partial results show that Macron's candidates would win between 200 and 250 seats, but that's much less than the 289 needed for a straight majority. A new coalition forming between the hard left, socialists, and the Greens as his main opposition and the growing far-right party puts pressure on Macron's political future. I'm Naomi Shannon.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com.
Dr. Gorka here, and you know me. I am very cynical about products, especially those that claim to help people suffering from pain. So when I tell you that Relief Factor truly works, I want you to know that I mean it. I suffered from a stiff lower back for almost a decade, one so painful it made it difficult to kneel in church on Sundays. When I finally decided to give Relief Factor a try, I didn't ever imagine that I would find myself free of the pain. But that's what happened. Now I take Relief Factor every day. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it worked for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. Feel the difference.
To be or not to be.
A couple in Omaha, Nebraska could hear buzzing when they put their ears to the walls of their 100-year-old home. Thomas and Mary Lou Gutierrez finally called the Omaha Bee Club and had 6,000 bees removed from the walls. The bad news? Well, they were charged $600 to remove the bees. The good news? They were actually able to taste some of the honey the bees had made before the critters were safely removed. Jason Walker reporting.
June 18, 1983, astronaut Sally Ride became America's first woman in space as she and four colleagues blasted off aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger on a six-day mission. And in 1778, American forces entered Philadelphia as the British withdrew during the Revolutionary War. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. In sports, the U.S. Open goes down to the wire before history is made. An Englishman takes home the trophy and the check.
England's Matt Fitzpatrick is the 122nd U.S. Open champion, following a one-stroke victory at the country club to claim his first major title.
Having
won the U.S. Amateur here as well, I just felt so comfortable around this place. Nowhere to hit it, nowhere to miss it. Yeah, just happy to be unbeaten around this place.
Fitzpatrick shot a 2-under par 68 to finish at 6-under after sharing the 54-hole lead with Will Zalatoris, who missed a nearly 15-foot birdie putt on the 18th hole that would have forced a playoff.
You know, I hit a great putt on 18. It just happened to hang out there.
Zalatoris shot 69 to finish tied for second with world number one Scotty Scheffler, who shot 67. Geffen Coolbaugh, Brookline, Massachusetts.
And be sure to check out more on these stories by logging on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Search. COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too. If you feel symptoms, even if they're mild, you should test fast. Test positive and at high risk for severe COVID-19? Then act fast with authorized oral treatments that can be taken at home and must be taken within 5 days from when symptoms begin. COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too by asking your healthcare provider if an oral treatment is right for you. Learn about a treatment option at treatcv19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Now, 7 after the hour, as we proceed in the business of News Talk Radio this past week, thanks to a lot of work done by the folks at Talkers Magazine. Those of you who are new to the program, we have 40 or so extra affiliates this week that have joined us with the new assemblage at the USA Radio Network. So we have people that are getting used to different things, things that hopefully are important, the discussion of the events, the people, all that stuff, the stories of the week. Talkers Magazine has for 30 years, every week, 52 weeks a year, gone through the talk radio world, talking to hosts, radio station managers, getting an idea, listening to stations, what the big stories are of the week. So we have the charts for the week of June 13th to the 17th to discuss the top 10 stories. We'll go over with you them. Is that a sentence? Does that make sense? I will go over them with you.
There you go.
Anyway, I'll go over, yes. People to the list as well. So joining me for the conversation are Jennifer, I still am stumbling with the DJV stuff. I have everyone for a while.
It's been 6 years or however long it's been. Now, it's going to be hard.
Yeah,
you
it is.
You stumble with the Good Day stuff on the DJV show. What else?
I know. Well, so anyway, we're back. The people of the Good Day, the Doug Steffen Good Day program, Jay Kirshner is here, and Jennifer Horn from KRLA in Los Angeles to work with the the information that we have and the powers that be. So let's first go back through the story list. Number 10, the talk convention and all the talk about the talk. Talk. Number 9, floods, heat wave, weather, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my overview, I don't know, Jennifer, if you've heard, did I discuss this before we went into a different zone here? There's a study that came out from NASA and NOAA about the condition of our planet at the moment and what it was like 4 million years ago. Have you heard that story?
No.
All right. So you can use this. You don't have to give me credit. You can use this on your morning program in Los Angeles. You can look this up, by the way. Jay, you remember, I don't have it right in front of me, but I know if you go to the NOAA website, you can find the results of this study of the planet. going back 4 million years. And guess what?
It's really fascinating.
The circumstances that we're living in right now with the amount of CO2 and all the other gases and all the other things that everybody's worked up about, it's exactly today the way it was 4 million years ago on the planet.
Not one
iota's different. So put that in your ears and smoke it, folks. All right, so we get into that afterwards. I just got off on that tangent. Number eight, the social media, the world of social media. Jay will pursue that with us. Race relations and Juneteenth, I guess, happening this weekend. Number seven, gun control. Interesting things going on in the bipartisan gun bill talks. I get Jennifer to bring us up to date on that. The war in Ukraine, what an outrage this is going on, and nobody's bumped off Putin. Wow. COVID, and some pretty outrageous things coming out about Dr. Fauci. Let's see, the January 6th committee. To hear or not to hear, that is the question. The usual, the primary results, I'm sure Jen will have some thoughts about that. And the economy is number one this week. Cost of inflated gasoline and all kinds of other things that are affecting us, cost of food. At number 10 on the people list, that phony Fauci. Elon Musk is at 9. The Putin and Jinping twins are number 8, tied for that position. Brett Kavanaugh is at 7. Ron DeSantis at 6. He's becoming quite the controversial character. And it could be that Elon Musk and DeSantis would be in the same, might be in the same category, at least as far as discussion is concerned. Let's see here. Ginny Thomas at number 5. Liz Cheney at 4. Jerome Powell at 3, Donald Trump at 2, and Joe Biden at 1. Okay. I want to just spend some time a little bit here on the House Select Committee investigating the events surrounding the storming on January 6th of the Capitol and what has gone on with the public hearings this week. And Jennifer, I'm sure you have little to say about this, but I'll...
Well, you know, it involves my congressman, the never honest Adam Schiff. So,
Mr. Phony Baloney.
Yeah, I've been paying attention.
He and Fauci are two peas in a pod. I'm not sure which of them is the bigger phony. Anyway, excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, here's the problem I have with the January 6th committee. If you want to have a political witch hunt, that's what they're doing. If you want to get to the bottom of this so that the United States Capitol doesn't get stormed again, I don't know that they're doing that. And so, for me, if you're legitimately concerned, and I think every American was, you know, from the beginning, the people who went inside the Capitol should be prosecuted for going inside the Capitol and for messing things up, just like anybody who messes up a federal building should be held responsible, in my opinion. And you have a lot of those people who are sitting in jail and who have had the proverbial book thrown at them, right? I mean, treated more unfairly than I think other people have done the same thing. So you've got people in jail. You've got investigations underway. So what's the point of this committee? Well, okay, we want to figure out how it happened. Not one person has asked Nancy Pelosi why she turned down the National Guard, which President Trump's
administration... Those are all good questions, by the way. You're asking the right question.
Had offered her 4 days before because they knew there were a lot of people coming, and they said, do you want the National Guard? She turned it down. Why she was in charge of the Capitol Police at the time, and still is, the Speaker of the House, why she didn't have additional staffing. I mean, you listen to these poor police officers, and they were overwhelmed. So that's why some of them looked like they were moving barricades, probably. They were scared. They were letting people in and didn't want to put themselves in harm's way, and I can't blame them. You got a lot of people wearing horns and animal pelts, and you're going to move out of the way. So why were they overwhelmed would be the question. Why wasn't local police? Why weren't the Metropolitan Police in Washington, D.C. called in? And these are questions that I have about how we prevent things from happening like this again, and instead of having this weird political witch hunt where they're out there calling, like, Rudy Giuliani a drunk. I mean... I don't know.
He was drunk that night.
Well, of course, maybe he is, but what's more important, saying that Rudy Giuliani was inebriated on election night or figuring out how to secure the United States Capitol? Like, what are you after?
I'll drink to that.
So it's just, I don't know. Then, you know, and you just hear the kind of stories. The Representative Loudermilk was a great one from the hearing, the second hearing this week. I think people are going to stop caring. I don't know. I think people are.
Well, I stopped caring, and then I watched that Friday night. I haven't talked to you since that. Last Thursday night, a week ago Thursday, there was the that primetime all the networks carried.
Yeah, I watched it. I was watching it. And this is unprecedented because there is not anybody that has been put on that panel from the minority party. Nancy Pelosi pushed down all of Kevin McCarthy's suggestions, which is why you've got your girlfriend Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger.
Excuse me? My girlfriend, Liz Cheney? Thank you very much.
Who aren't really asking any hard questions.
My girlfriend is girlfriend is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's get
it
straight.
I understand. So I'm sorry. What did you think on Thursday night? Were you just compelled?
I was fascinated by it. I turned it on as Liz Cheney was doing her thing, and she asked all the right questions and really piqued my interest. I had lost interest, as you were suggesting, because I thought it was just a lot of hooey. But then when some of the things came up that either I didn't know or I had forgotten about what was going on with all of the Trump family and the Trump, the team in the White House, it seemed that everybody was telling him except Rudy Giuliani, you lost, pal, time to move on.
They're trying to really go after John Eastman, who's a lawyer, who was the one who was, they say, hatching the plot. But they're also using little tiny 10-second clips of everything. And I wonder if those people knew in what context those little clips would be broadcast. I mean, we all know in this business, a 10-second clip does not give you the full context of what you're talking about.
Of course not.
It was put together like a television show. And yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think the prime target is to try to get rid of the Electoral College. The next target is to try to ensure that Trump
can't
run
again. I want
to
get rid of the Electoral College. I want your vote to count, Jennifer. Your vote doesn't count in California. Doesn't count. Your count doesn't. It doesn't. All right. 16 past the hour in a moment. What's going on with the bipartisan gun bill, which on the countdown list is number 6 right after this?
Calitone is collagen. We're born with collagen. We lose it. You're putting back into your body what your body has naturally. There are no drugs. There are no stimulants. And what it does, it supports the lean muscle. It burns your stored fat. You're going to more than likely see inch loss before weight loss. That doesn't happen fast. Also, if you have anything joint-wise, muscle-wise, it's going to go there first. You know, your body breaks down the collagen protein, and one of those proteins is glycine, which helps your body sleep more soundly. So there's many, many benefits, but it's one of your few that your heart patients, your diabetics, if you're on prescription meds, it will not interact at all.
There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. Use the code DJV for free shipping and to get these BOGO deals. It's a great way to lose weight, the healthiest way to do it in America. Check it all out at toploss.com.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
Okay, so at number 6, gun control. And so it looks like at the end of the week, John Cornyn, who is the GOP negotiator, walked out of the talks. Why? What was going on that made him upset? Because I thought he was pretty moderate on this stuff, listening to him last week anyway. So what were the Democrats trying to shove into this? I thought they were moving along pretty well until
The framework, and but they don't have the actual bill. And so this is where a lot of people have been skeptical because, you know, frameworks can sound great, and then when you start to read the fine print, we all know this, you go, wait a second, is that something that we're into? But, the story this week is that he just said he's through talking, and he walked out. and mostly because of people on his own side of the aisle. There are a lot of conservatives that are worried that this might infringe upon people's Second Amendment rights.
They aren't worried about that at all. They're worried about not getting contributions from the NRA. Let's face it, they're not worried
about...
I'll
tell you what I'm worried about. I'm worried about these red flag laws, and...
What a red flag law is, please, quickly.
We're in a pickle right now because so a lot of this framework, and I really honestly think that this framework's a big bunch of nothing. I think that it's senators trying to pat themselves on the back and trying to make themselves feel good about doing something that's not going to do a whole lot.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, and I hate to be cynical, but that's just kind of where we are. I do give John Cornyn credit. I think that he wants to be Mitch McConnell. He wants to be the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, so he's trying his hand at it right now. Mm-hmm. So I give him credit for that. What makes me nervous, and I've said for a long time, as we've worked together, you guys know when we see something, we have to say something. Too much people are staying in their own lanes, and they're not calling out weird behavior. If a kid has scratch marks and carvings on their face, that's not normal, and we should be saying something about that, right? That's not normal behavior. And that was the kind of behavior that the person who shot up Uvalde had. He was cutting himself. So I know we have to say something, but when you talk about red flag laws, at this point, a lot of conservatives bristle because, for instance, parents are being put on the domestic terror list right now if they go to a school board meeting and feel passionately about a certain issue. Republicans are being put on domestic terror lists if they go to Trump rallies. And so a lot of people are concerned about due process when it comes to red flag.
21 after the hour. The Talk Radio Countdown.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, Pasta, and More, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy Mambo Pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance.
Appliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Go through the social commentary. The business of, well, there are a couple of things here. Jennifer, you didn't hear our conversations about pineapple pizza, which was a big to-do this week, as we
yes
hear
no.
from.
What did we vote on?
Oh, it was pretty much mixed. It was mixed reviews, but there was also a lot of conversation on unpopular opinions. One of my personal beliefs is that Grease 2 is better than Grease.
Really?
Yes. Yes, no doubt in my mind. Tina Fanouf says pineapple does belong on pizza. Carrie Morgan says beans do not belong in chili. Yeah. And Bob Berman's unpopular opinion is that the movie Avatar was boring.
Do you know what I think that about? Lord of the Rings. I fell asleep during that movie. I could not stay awake.
I couldn't even go to see it.
Oh, I left the theater and went into the game arcade. My friends were like, where did she go?
Yeah, there
too
we go.
Long. You know, the funny thing about beans and chili is I didn't realize, excuse me, that that's a Texas thing to not have beans and chili.
Really?
Do they put?
Well, is it Skyline chili in Cincinnati? That's all.
In Cincinnati,
all,
yeah, they don't beans? Put beans in that, and they put the chili on top of spaghetti.
Hot dogs. Oh, they put it on hot dogs, too.
Oh,
I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe right. fries or whatever.
I think that was my initiation when I was working in Cincinnati back in the
Hartford?
Late 80s and early 90s, yeah. No, I'll tell you, Pete Rose, who was on the same station, they took me to a Skyline, a Skyview, was it Skyline? I can't remember what it is, but he said, Skyline. So he takes me to a Skyline, of course, going in with Pete Rose into a Skyline, you can imagine what kind of a circus that was. And it was, but I didn't like it. And he says, what's the matter with you? I didn't like it.
Well, you don't eat meat.
No. But there's also, like, cinnamon or something. There's there's some weird flavors in there. However, I only put beans in my chili, so people who think beans shouldn't be in chili, you do not want to eat my chili.
Right. Okay. The story of the newlywed that lost her wedding ring. How about some comment on that and personal experiences?
Yeah, the guy took his wedding band off and put it in his shoe on the beach, and newlywed, not used to it. So people chimed in with their own wedding band losses. Denise Edwards says she takes hers off regularly, daily, and leaves it at home so she doesn't lose the diamond. Tim Palmer says his wife lost hers, and they searched the whole house, even took apart the sink drain because they thought maybe it went down it. They never found it.
Oh, yeah.
And Janet Mattson says one of her sons-in-law lost his new wedding ring in the ocean while they were on their honeymoon. So it happens. It seems like the honeymoon is a popular time to lose that wedding ring.
Is that sort of a prediction of what's to come?
Yeah, dark cloud.
Yeah, is that an omen when the ocean itself takes the band off
takes
for you?
Takes the band, yes, right, exactly. All right, comments on some of the news stories. The gun law in Ohio, no permits. I forgot to ask Jennifer about that.
This seems...
Oh, my God. Jennifer. Okay, what? So what was this?
Yeah. They have 8 hours of training and they don't.
No, they don't.
No, they're taking it away.
Yeah, they took away the
700 hours, but they're still still requiring 8 hours of training.
Not in Ohio.
No.
Yeah.
Not in Ohio. No.
Look at you. Okay.
<That's very
true. laughs>
All right. So this is something we have forbearance on this. We'll get back to the listener comments and Jennifer's comments on the overall gun control situation. Number 6 this week on the story list from Talkers Magazine. You can find the list at talkers.com and DougStephan.com.
This report is sponsored by T-Mobile. T-Mobile has invested in its network resources and expanded its emergency response fleet to be ready for whatever this year's hurricane and wildfire seasons bring its way. June 1 is the official start of the hurricane season. T-Mobile has made network resiliency investments, added new response vehicles, and thousands of backup generators, and launched a new collaboration with the Weather Channel to keep customers, communities, and first responders connected when needed most. T-Mobile also share tips so that everyone can take active steps to prepare before and during weather events. Make a disaster kit with a list of emergency numbers and waterproof resealable bags and chargers. Download the Red Cross and FEMA apps and subscribe to your local authorities' text alerts on your phone. Download the Weather Channel app on your smart TV or streaming device and ensure your communication devices are fully charged. T-Mobile is preparing to support a more resilient network in the face of storm season, and customers can be prepared too. Visit T-Mobile.com/news for more information.
Calitrin is collagen. We're born with collagen. We lose it. You're putting back into your body what your body has naturally. There are no drugs. There are no stimulants. And what it does, it supports the lean muscle. It burns your stored fat. You're going to more than likely see inch loss before weight loss. That doesn't happen fast. Also, if you have anything joint-wise, muscle-wise, it's going to go there first. You know, your body breaks down the collagen protein, and one of those proteins is glycine, which helps your body sleep more soundly. So there's many, many benefits, but it's one of your few that your heart patients, your diabetics, if you're on prescription meds, it will not interact at all.
There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. Use the code DJV for free shipping and to get these BOGO deals. It's a great way to lose weight, the healthiest way to do it in America. Check it all out at toploss.com.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
And you can save even more with a gold card. More style and more savings. On my way there now.
Select styles, 15% off earnings, June 19th. Under armor coupons do not apply. Then exclusion applies. Store or call for details.
Here at Total Wine & More, our amazing selection means you'll always
love what you find.
Dad, what are you doing here?
Just getting a sneak peek at my Father's Day gifts.
I was thinking of getting you this Napa Cabernet.
That's a really nice bottle.
And Total Wine has it at the totally lowest price.
Wow, you always were my favorite.
Thanks, Dad.
I was talking to the Cabernet.
Love what you find. Like the perfect gift for Dad at the perfect price. Only at Total Wine & More.
And drink responsibly. B21.
Our most vulnerable veterans are isolated at hospitals. And during their greatest time of need, their loved ones can have little or no contact with them. Imagine having to shelter in place forever. Learn how you can help at healvets.org. Help Heal Veterans, with the support of citizens like you, is making things better together. Learn more at healvets.org. This message is furnished by Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
The American Family Farmer Podcast.
Neighbors and farmers have to work together to come to an understanding, a realization, if you will, that there are common interests and there are common needs. And my advice has always been, we have to learn how to live together. And that's a pretty natural process for farmers. Things have changed a lot in my lifetime and in yours as well.
Get the podcast at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
34 after the hour now is the Talk Radio Review, using the resources of the Doug Steffen Good Day program, which namely include me. I'm a super, don't you think I'm a great resource? I'm a superb resource when it comes to talking about these things. Come on, ladies.
Yes, you're not totally.
Jay Kirshner here from the Doug Steffen Good Day program. Jennifer Horn from KRLA with thoughts about the big issues of the week as we talk things through. All right, so we were embroiled somewhat in a discussion about Ohio's permitless gun carry law, and it seems that Jennifer has a different interpretation of that than do we. So now we have to get down to the bottom, the brass tacks. This is number six this week, as I think I said on the story list. There were people who commented on this, Jay. Let's do that first. Some of the comments from social media that were commenting on what we were saying on the air about this carry law in Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many conversations happening around guns right now. The Ohio's permitless carry gun law. Susan Siddell says, according to Webster's Dictionary, common sense means sound and prudent judgment based on a simple perception of the situation or fact, and then asks, does anyone know where common sense in America has gone? Seriously, people, the bipartisan gun deal has been a conversation with Colleen Maxey Smith saying it's all a huge mess. People are afraid of losing their guns. Congress will do anything or say anything just to get anything done. She says, I just don't understand the need of assault rifles in the hands of any American person, excluding the military, of course. Greg Donahoe chimes in, I was surprised it didn't include an increase in the purchase age. I think the improvement in background checks is logical. I'm glad both sides in the Senate have come together. It remains to be seen if the House will accept this or dig in their heels and get nothing done.
All right. So how did we misunderstand or misspeak, Jennifer, about the Ohio gun law? You don't think that we have the right spin on our interpretation?
I know. Look, everybody gets their own spin. So the way I understood the story, maybe we were just miscommunicating. The way I understood the story to be is that right now in the state of Ohio, teachers can carry a gun to school if they complete 24 hours of training. So they get instruction and training. They then have to notify the parents that these teachers or these school staff members are armed, and then those teachers can conceal carry. And every single year, they actually have to go and renew basically their ability to carry that weapon on campus. And I think it's a great idea. Look, I know people have turned out the idea that every teacher should be forced to be armed in the classroom. I'm not buying that, because I don't think every person has the temperament to carry a firearm and to deploy it in a manner that's safe and useful, because some people panic in emergencies, and those people should not be spraying bullets around.
Yeah, that's true.
So if these are teachers who already, and in Ohio you're going to have some who are actually gun owners, who know how to use a firearm, who take the training, who notify the parents, I think they're going to be an asset if, God forbid, something happens. Then, rather than something that's going to cause a problem, I think they can save lives. So I'm all for it.
All right. And to add what Jen's saying, it's going to be up to the school district to decide if they're going to allow this or not. And if a parent has a problem with the staff having a gun on the school premise, they can pull their kid out of school. They have that right to do so, and they can have their kid go somewhere else or into a school district that doesn't allow it. But I agree with Jen. I would feel more comfortable if my son's in school and his teacher has the necessary requirements and did the different trainings and has to keep up with the trainings. I would feel like if some psychopath comes onto the premise with ill intentions, that they're not going to get as far as they have been in the past, because teachers will be allowed to have this training. But for the common person, for the civilians of Ohio, anyone 21 and older no longer will need to carry a permit nor complete the 8-hour handgun.
Right.
Of course. Got it.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. Number four is a discussion of COVID as it continues. After a long delay, children under five will be able to get vaccines starting next week. Some may think that's a good idea. Some may think that's a bad idea. I don't know that I've made up my mind yet about it because I'm back and forth about what is in the vaccine and how it may or may not have affected me and others. In the last couple of weeks, I've had some strange feelings in my body that I've never had before. And I've asked people that I know, is this something that could be related to the vaccine, having to do with nerves and stuff? And
my mom can barely walk right now. I don't know if I've shared this with you guys.
Oh, no.
We haven't been together the last couple of weeks. And she feels like it has nothing to do with the vaccine. And you know what? It may have nothing to do with the vaccine. But she's twice vaxxed and boosted. And she had the onslaught of these symptoms come on really fast. And she doesn't believe it's the vaccine. She thinks it's something else. I have my doubts. There's a lot of conversation about inflammation and about nerve stuff, as you mentioned, Doug. And that's what's really plaguing her. And I don't know. Everybody needs to make their own decision for themselves. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Fauci did a hearing yesterday, and, you know, he has COVID. So if Dr. Fauci's got it, I feel like everybody at some point may get it. But
yeah.
Fauci,
you know what I object to, though, is his wife's role in all of this. It's just too close. Maybe this is ancient history, but I don't. The more I think about it, the more unrelaxed I feel. I've never liked him anyway because I thought he was a blowhard and sort of a grandstander. But, you know, was his information correct or not? Just because you don't necessarily like somebody's demeanor, that doesn't mean that what they're doing isn't right or what they're working on isn't correct. But I just find him, the more I find out about him, the less I like him.
The fact that he's funded the lab in Wuhan, the fact that he's profited himself, I mean, that's what makes you people uncomfortable with the idea of him still being in charge. And Rand Paul is probably the most uncomfortable. And they had an interaction this week because Fauci was testifying via remote. And Rand Paul asked him about the kids under the age of five, why they needed the booster and the COVID vaccine. And he said, are kids getting hospitalized that get COVID? And Fauci says, no. And so Rand Paul, of course, goes on and he says, right now there's not enough data he says, so there's no studies, and Americans should all know this, there are no studies on children showing a reduction in hospitalization or death when taking a booster. And Fauci had to agree that there were no studies that show that. Mm-hmm. And so Paul goes, that's not science, that's conjecture, and we should not be making public policy on it.
So here's the big
back and forth about the reality of putting the booster in the kids.
A lot of parents are hesitant about this, frankly. Only 1 in 5 parents of children under 5 are even planning to vaccinate their children. This is different. By the way, this is a Kaiser Foundation study of people who are in their system. So, you know, there's deep concern here about whether the virus has a broad impact on our health and well-being. And the bottom line is it hasn't been checked, frankly. I get sort of, I don't know if I got a kick out of this. I'm looking at this anti-vax doctor from California. I forget her name, who was in the protest at Capitol Hill. She's got I'm not sure which is getting her more notoriety, the fact that she was in the Capitol riot or the fact that she's an anti-vaxxer. You know, I'm trying to find her name. I'm looking at a picture of her. She looks like she would punch you in the mouth if she had a chance to. So whatever her reputation is, there are a lot of trending stories on that side of the world. Let's see here. Her name is Dr. Simone Gold.
Yeah, she's one of the frontline doctors.
Yeah. She was in prison for 60 days.
It's ridiculous.
Paid a $9,500 fine because of her involvement supposedly in storming the U.S. Capitol. She was one of the ones who delivered speeches to the rioters.
Yeah, she was one of the high, and she was one of the, again, there were two sides to the Capitol, and I don't mean political sides, I mean two sides of the building. And there were people that were brought in to speak at the rally that then turned into people storming the Capitol. A lot of those people got caught up, and they're being made examples of.
Yeah. She's in Beverly Hills, by the way. I never heard of her before.
Simone Gold, she's pretty famous.
Is she?
Speaking out against the COVID vaccine.
She got 480,000 followers on Twitter. Anyway, but she's been all over COVID-19 and against it. A judge told her that her anti-vax activism wasn't a factor in her sentencing. Well, really? Ha! She wasn't a casual bystander, so the judge said. How many other people have been through the system, though, and have been assigned time in jail or a fine? This is the first time I've actually seen a name attached to, but 800 people have been charged with this as a federal crime.
That's
300 of them have pled guilty.
Well, and countless lost their jobs for not even going inside the Capitol, just being at the protest, absurd.
People in that I know in Southern California had their houses tossed by the FBI, and they took out a Trump-Pence 2020 sticker, like a bumper sticker. I mean, it's unbelievable. And this is the problem. Like, let's go after the people who went in and wrecked things and leave the other people who were just there on the outside alone. There's no point in that.
Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Steffen here with the list of the top stories this week, so you'll have them. Oftentimes we get in our discussions on both the Talk Radio Review and the Countdown, and we don't get to each of the stories. So here's the list, the official list. At 10, the overview of the talk radio convention that we had last week. Lots of hosts there and lots of hosts talking about it. The situation with weather is number 9. Social media is in the 8th place. Race relations, number 7. Crime, violence, guns, number 6. Number 5, the war. I don't have to say the Russian-Ukrainian war, right? We all know what the war is. Number 4 is the continuing, we're at war with ourselves over COVID-19 information, what to do, what not to do, what to take, what not to take, amazing. Number 3, the committee that's having hearings on what happened, well, the fact they stopped the hearings, January 6th hearings, that's the story. Number 2, partisan politics, and number 1, the national economy. That's the list. All right, up next, it's 44 at the hour. We'll talk about the situation with Russia and who's trying to get Brittany Griner out.
I am Robert Strickler. My wife Joyce and I have been married for 53 years. Certainly one of the really important things in my life are our children and our grandchildren. I am essentially a writer. I've been involved in communications in the media. I've been an avid fly fisherman for at least 40 or more years. I've been taking Prevagen on a regular basis for at least 8 years. For me, the greatest benefit over the years has been that Prevagen seems to help me recall things and also think more clearly, have a crisper ability to remember and think through things. And I enthusiastically recommend Prevagen. It has helped me an awful lot.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Robert Strickler is a content contributor for Prevagen and real user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
American Heart Association Healthbeat. I'm Mariah Haberman. A new survey from the American Heart Association and funded in part by an existing grant from the Anthem Foundation examines reasons why some are hesitant to perform CPR. Anthem Vice President and Medical Director Dr. David Pryor.
According to the survey, 3 in 10 people are afraid of hurting someone when performing bystander CPR. The association's mission is to share 2 simple steps to saving a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest.
Getting trained in CPR is key. Cardiovascular Research Fellow Dr. Anezi Uzendu.
The Anthem Foundation's longstanding partnership with the American Heart Association has trained more than 10.5 million Americans in hands-only CPR since 2012. We want everyone to have the education and tools they need so they feel comfortable stepping in when it matters most. You could be saving the life of someone you love.
To learn more how you can help in a cardiac emergency, visit heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Talkers Magazine and the list of people who are on the top of mind in discussions the week of June 13th to the 17th, courtesy of the folks editing and publishing Talkers Magazine, the staff there. At number 10 on the people list is Tony Fauci. Notice I didn't say phony Fauci, but that's what I was thinking. Elon Musk is number 9. Putin and Xi Jinping, number 8 tied for that position. Brett Kavanaugh, still in his problems, focus on him because of the threats, number 7. Ron DeSantis in the spotlight, the governor of Florida, number 6. Jenny Thomas, wife of the Supreme Court Justice, in kind of the hot seat at number 5. Liz Cheney at number 4. Jerome Powell is 3. Donald Trump is in the second position, and I think weakening somewhat. And then Joe Biden is the number 1. Always wondering what it is that's next He's going to the Middle East, I think, this coming week. So there'll be lots to talk about with regard to that here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. All right, so a couple of things with regard to Russia we should discuss on the Talk Radio Review. Jennifer Horn from KRLA is here. Jay Kirshner from the Doug Steffen Good Day program and the aforementioned Doug Steffen. Brittany Griner is the subject of much focus. Congressman Colin Allred. Where is he? Where is Allred from? What state is he from? Her state, I would guess, right? What state is that? State of... I don't know what... Yeah. Well, it is kind of confusing what's going on with her. She still is a political prisoner, and nobody's doing it. I thought we were exchanging her for some bad Russian guy. What happened to that?
Well, so this is the Texas's 32nd congressional district, and he is saying that she is officially considered a political prisoner, and that kind of makes things a little bit easier to formally begin the negotiations with Russia to bring her home. However, it's kind of hitting a roadblock because Russia is saying that they're not even going to enter talks on anything until at least July 2nd, which is her trial, which is the new court date hearing. And so it's kind of like, well, they keep pushing it back. So how are they supposed to negotiate and work to get her back if Russia keeps pushing back her hearing?
Well, it just, I mean, how do we negotiate with Russia at all?
I know.
Given that Putin is a lunatic.
Apparently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Good luck in Russia.
Exactly. European leaders say they want to support Ukraine's candidacy to join the EU. This is rather interesting. The same countries are playing host, apparently, to some of the super wealthy Russians that are trying to find an escape. But there are cities where some of these oligarchs have gone, and now the cities have either apprehended them or they've thrown them out. And that's going on all over Europe. I don't know. Is it going on all around the world? They're grabbing their boats and stuff.
Yeah.
Selling them and using the money to help the people in Ukraine. It didn't seem like it was such a good week for the Ukrainians, though. Did you get that feeling this week?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of talk about just when Russia's going to have complete control, and it may be a couple of years, but that Ukraine may not exist after that time. So it doesn't, I mean, this is a long war, and people are losing interest.
People, well, it better not be, because we're not going to be able to pay the price that we're paying literally and figuratively to keep this going. Jennifer Horn, Jay Kirshner, Doug Steffen, at your service and on your side, Talk Radio Review.
Discover the 2022 Subaru Forester Wilderness, the second member of the Subaru Wilderness family. Featuring 9.2 inches of ground clearance, standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, and all-terrain tires for increased off-road capability. Plus, a design that's bold and protective at the same time. The Forester Wilderness unlocks a whole new level of adventure. Discover more at Subaru.com/wilderness.
Here at Total Wine & More, our amazing selection means you'll always
love what you find.
Dad, what are you doing here?
Just getting a sneak peek at my Father's Day gifts.
I was thinking of getting you this Napa Cabernet.
That's a really nice bottle.
And Total Wine has it at the totally lowest price.
Wow. You always were my favorite.
Thanks, Dad.
I was talking to the Cabernet.
Love what you find. Like the perfect gift for Dad at the perfect price. Only at Total Wine & More.
And drink responsibly. B21.
Hello, Discover here to explain our cash back match. Here's how it works. We give you cash back for using your Discover card on the things you were going to buy anyway. Then we match that cash back in your first year. And that's why we call it cash back match. Now to recap and say cash back one more time. We match all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
Hey, Dad, cool if I change this?
They may not get each other's music, but they can both get a COVID-19 booster shot. Because the CDC recommends booster shots for people 12 years and older after completion of a primary series. Schedule an appointment as soon as you are eligible. Sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer.
counting down what America is talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Fifty-three past the hour now on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Michael Harrison and Doug Steffen continuing with an overview of the things that are going on. You know, one of the things that doesn't seem to go away, as I look at this list, and we have some of the things that are repeated, probably the one that's been here the longest in terms of consistency every week has been COVID, other than some political item, but COVID and the back and forth between Fauci, the interest that his wife has played in all this stuff. Do we give five-month-old babies shots? All that stuff. And the altercation that's set up that becomes interesting and entertaining with some people anyway, of guys like Rand Paul going after Fauci. How's that for drama, and does it play out well on the radio?
Well, it plays out on the radio in many ways. It's informational. One of the biggest problems we've had during what I call the COVID era, and we're going to be in this era for years to come. I do not believe it's going away. And I do want to point something out to you, Doug. I don't know if you're aware, but I am currently quarantining with COVID. I contracted COVID at the Talkers Convention.
You did? Week. You didn't tell me that. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
I have COVID. My wife has COVID.
Whoa!
Some of the people in our office have COVID, and a number of attendees have COVID.
Was it a super spreader? The Talkers Convention
no,
was...
not a super spreader. That term isn't used anymore. It just is that people who get together, go to restaurants, go to ball games, mingle in crowds, go to hotels, have a chance of getting COVID. The latest variants are extremely contagious. The good news is we are not dealing with the same strain of COVID that we dealt with back in 2020 when getting it meant that you had a good chance of winding up in a hospital on a ventilator and dying. Right now, the way it seems to go is the first day you feel like you have a nasty flu. The second day you have a mild flu. The third day you have a nasty cold. The fourth day you have a mild cold. And by the fifth day, you're just very fatigued, which is what goes through the whole thing. And Paxlovid seems to be the med of choice,
yeah.
But it's they don't have a lot of it out there. So they usually save it for people who are either immunocompromised or have advanced age and thus are at risk, such as Fauci. He's on that particular medication. But no, I mean, you wouldn't know listening to me that I was pretty sick a few days ago, and now I'm feeling a lot better. I'm just fatigued from it. It really knocks you out, but it's not. I don't mean to diminish it. It's obviously very serious, but it knocks you out. But it's not as dreadfully terrorizing in terms of general stats as it was back when it first started.
I wonder. That's a fascinating. I didn't know that. And you and I are pretty close. I haven't talked to you since the event. So, and there's no reason that you'd call me and say, "Hey, did you hear I had
COVID?" Well, you've had a busy week, and I stayed out of your way. Plus, I had to deal with my own issues. But my ear is to the ground, and I had heard that you were active and doing things. So, if I had heard that you were sick, I would have called you. But I knew that you were not, and I'm happy to hear that you're not.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate, man. Knock on wood. I must have a strongest immune system or whatever under the stars. Everybody has said everybody's going to get this. My good friend, Dr. Ken Kronhaus, who does a radio program with me, Good Day Health on the weekends, has said to me he thinks I had it the first week that when I drove back across the country. I didn't feel well. I wasn't sick, but I didn't feel well. And he said, I may have been able to ward off the seriousness of it, but I still might have had the effects of it, if that's what it is. So who knows? I don't have the antibodies.
Absolutely. I think I may have had it before and just don't know. Look, as evidenced by the fact that the home tests have a very low level of accuracy and that a lot of people don't get tested, and people walk around saying they have brain fog. I mean, you hear that from a lot
yes.
of people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people feel depression and fatigue, and we blame it on, isolation. It could be that there are forms of this thing that we don't know about. I'm not a doctor. So I'm not giving any kind of, professional advice here. I'm just simply saying, as a person over the backyard fence, who the hell knows?
Well, the other side of it is, and I won't spend much time on this because we're almost out of time, but this week I've had some strange nervous nerve feelings, not nervousness, but nerves in my body have acted like they've never acted before. I've had feelings, nerves,
that
doing
can be shingles
strange things.
Oriented.
Some, well, not really, but something that was unique, never heard, never felt it before, and some people think it's because of the shots. So,
possibly.
Who knows? Michael Harris and Doug Steffen here at your service on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Why should you trust Brembo Brakes? Because 60 years of racing, testing, braking, and bettering. Because dogs in the road, indecisive squirrels, and that kid chasing the lost ball. Because tiny humans in the back seat and blind turns in front of you. Because every car should be equipped with the same kind of performance, safety, and comfort that manufacturers and professional drivers trust every day. Visit buybrembo.com and learn more about the most trusted brakes in braking. Getting a new ride is fun. Shopping online for a new car, not so much. Stop doing the same car search over and over again on multiple sites and try AutoTempest.com. See all the cars with one easy search. Our powerful search engine scours all the top car shopping sites, giving you instant results so you can easily browse all the listings with one search. Whether a dream ride, a family hauler, or a work truck, let us help you find your next ride. AutoTempest.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The January 6th committee seeking several high-profile people to testify.
Members of the House Select Committee say they may subpoena former Vice President Mike Pence. The panel is also waiting to hear from Ginny Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, about her role in the plot to overturn the 2020 election. Meanwhile, lawmakers say they will release more evidence about Donald Trump's alleged effort to defraud supporters by fundraising off false claims of a stolen presidential election. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Offering a dose of optimism, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen expects the U.S. economy to slow in the months ahead. However,
I don't think a recession is at all inevitable.
Yellen spoke with ABC's This Week Sunday, says consumers are adjusting to the high price of gas and food.
I don't see a drop-off in consumer spending is a likely cause of a recession in the months ahead, and the labor market is very strong.
Yellen says she appreciates the delicate dance that Fed Chair Jerome Powell is doing.
His goal is to bring inflation down while maintaining a strong labor market. That's going to take skill and luck. But I believe it's possible.
The secretary also expressed an openness to a federal gas tax holiday to help give motorists some relief at the pump. A magnitude 6.0 earthquake shook Taiwan Monday morning. It happened around 9 a.m. local time, and a shallow depth in the central east coast of the island was felt across most of the island, including Taipei, as well as across the Taiwan Strait in mainland China's Fujian province. And leftist former rebel Gustavo Petro has won Colombia's presidential runoff election Sunday over a real estate millionaire, paving the way for a new era of politics in the South American country. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Dr. Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor for years now to help me deal with pain in my body. My wife takes it as well. The reason we tell everyone we know about it is simple. We found it really works to help our bodies fight off the inflammation that causes aches and pains. Whether it's the pain of injuries you've sustained or just the natural pains from the mileage over the years, Relief Factor can help. I've never looked back. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
Germany's economy minister says the country will limit the use of gas for electricity production amid concerns of shortages in supplies from Russia.
German economy minister Robert Habeck says the country will limit its gas usage amid concerns about possible shortages from Russia. Last week, the Russian gas company Gazprom announced it was reducing supplies through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline to Germany. While Russia claims technical reasons, Habeck believes it was politically motivated. He says Germany will try to compensate for the move by increasing the burning of coal, a more polluting fossil fuel. I'm Naomi Shannon.
Roseanne Williams, Starbucks North American president, who's been a prominent figure in the company's push against worker unionization, is leaving the company after 17 years. She'll be replaced by 20-year veteran Sarah Trilley. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Hot real estate markets have made some homeowners wary of participating in voluntary flood buyout programs.
The flood buyout programs typically purchase flood-prone homes, raise them, and turn the property into green space. Buyouts are also considered cheaper for taxpayers when compared to rebuilding the flooded homes. People who take buyouts usually want to relocate to similar homes in the same community, but some worry that buyout dollars will not be enough to buy the homes that they desire. Jason Walker reporting.
Protests against men dressing as women to read to children are heating up during Pride Month. At one recent event outside San Francisco, demonstrators walked in and berated one such so-called drag queen during a reading. Organizers of the program say they have faced pushback from the beginning, but that recent pressure is new. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199. Hey.
And now, When Radio Was, brought to you by RadioSpirits.com.
I'm Greg Bell, and we'll begin this time with the second half of an episode of The Life of Riley. And then later we switch from the comedies to the detectives, as Howard Duff stars as Dashiell Hammett's Sam Spade. At the end of our previous show, Paula Winslow as Peg Riley had entered a baking contest in order to win a new stove. Ah, but Chester accidentally destroyed her cake while trying to ride Junior's bike. Thinking quickly, he replaced it with a store-bought one. Let's see how that is working out as we return to the evening of October 27th, 1950.
Now back to The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley with Paula Winslow and John Brown.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's simply wonderful. I still can't believe I won. I can't help feeling there's a mistake somewhere.
Ah, no mistake.
No, there's no doubt about it, Mrs. Riley. You won fair and square.
Yep.
Our judges went wild about your cake.
Well, I'm very grateful to your company, Mr. Quinn. My, such a lovely stove. It's got everything, and it's so simple to use.
Yeah, well, it won't be so simple at first. Don't forget, on this stove, when you want to turn it on, you turn it on, and when you want to turn it off, you turn it off. Might take you a little while to get used to the idea.
I beg your pardon. When you see our old stove, if you wanted to...
Never mind, Riley. Well, thank you again, Mr. Quinn. I'm really very grateful.
On the contrary, we're very grateful to you, Mrs. Riley. We're going to use your recipe in our advertising. Oh, by the way, how much did the ingredients for the cake cost you?
Oh, around $1.75.
$1.75 for a beautiful cake like that. Amazing. Do you know what that cake would cost you if you had to buy it in a bakery?
Sure, $5.
Clive, you show me where you can get a cake like that for only $5.
Well, sure, you just go over to Burnbury. Oh, you're absolutely right.
Of course. Well, I must be off. I mustn't forget what I came for, the photograph.
Photograph?
Yes, for our ads. We're going to feature the cake, and naturally, we want the person who's responsible for it in the picture, too.
Well, naturally. How about snapping me right in front of the stove here? Oh, Peg, why don't you shove your head in the oven like you're baking a cake? Gillis, old pal.
Oh, it's you, Riley.
Did you see our new stove?
I seen it. That's all I heard is the new stove.
Well, ain't you going to congratulate a fella?
For what? That stove of yours is costing me $300.
Well, what do you mean?
Now that your wife has an electric stove, my nag wants one. She's been hounding me all day, and she won't stop till she gets it. $300. There goes my new, brand new, second-handed car. Thanks to you.
Well, yeah, but they're great stoves, worth the money.
The way my wife cooks, I'll get heartburn from the new stove the way I got it from the old stove. Boy, are you lucky to have a clever wife like Peg. Believe me, you got more luck than brains.
Oh, yeah, that's how much you know about it. Peg had nothing to do with that cake.
Don't tell me you baked it.
No, I bought it in Bernadine's Bakery.
You what?
Yeah, wise guy. I smashed Peg's cake accidentally, so I had to replace it. Cost me $5 and I get a new $300 stove. So who's dumb now, huh?
But, Riley, that's crooked, ain't it?
Well, what could I do? I couldn't tell Peg. Just between you and me, what would you have done?
The same thing you'd done, only I wouldn't be dumb enough to tell anybody about it.
You big schmo!
Are you sure, Jimsy? Are you sure?
Positive, honeybee, darling. Riley told me. He bought the cake at Bernadine's Bakery.
Well, that's the most dishonest thing I ever heard. I always said you couldn't trust that Peg.
Oh, she had nothing to do with it. It was Riley.
Heck, you believe that? Don't make me laugh. I thought there was something fishy when she won. Her chocolate cake ain't much. Not nearly as good as mine. No wonder I didn't get no prize, competing against a professional like Bernadine. You just wait till the girls hear about this. No, I got a better idea. I might even wind up with a stove after all.
Who are you phoning, honeybee?
Hello? Is this the Golden State Flower Company? Well, I'd like to speak to Mr. Quinn, please.
What are you going
to
do?
What do you think?
No, you can't.
Oh, can't I?
Oh, you mustn't. Hang up.
Don't be silly.
You can't do such a thing. They're our neighbors, our best friends.
Some friends.
Riley and me grew up together. Our kids play together. We wipe together. You can't do that.
Oh, shut up. Hello, Mr. Quinn.
No, hang up!
Hold on a minute, please, Mr. Quinn. Jimsy, you stop yelling, you hear me?
I won't let you do this, not to Riley. He's my friend. When I was in the accident, he gave me a blood transfusion. His red corporals are keeping me alive. Hang up!
Okay. But if I hang up, then you'll have to buy me a new stove.
Well, what are you waiting for? Tell the man already.
Oh, Mr. Quinn.
Peg, the door.
I'll see who it is, dear.
I'm busy. Can't you see I'm polishing the new stove?
Again? That's all you've been doing. It's not a car, you know. Yes?
Mrs. Riley?
Oh, Mr. Quinn.
Who is it, Peg? Well, hello. What brings you back here? More pictures?
No. I've come for the stove.
Oh, you've come for the stove.
Well, I don't understand. Was there some mistake?
A very serious one on your part. You obtained that stove through fraud, Mrs. Riley.
Fraud? What do you mean? How can you say such... I never heard...
You did not bake that cake. It was bought at Bernadine's Bakery.
Why, that's not true. Well, that's the... I baked that cake myself right here in this kitchen.
Now, Mrs. Riley, we don't want to make trouble for you. Just let us take the stove.
I will not let you take the stove. Riley, tell him.
Well, now, don't argue with him. Be a lady. If that's his attitude, let him take his stove.
I will not. I won that stove, and I'm going to keep it.
Mrs. Riley, we have an affidavit from the proprietor of the bakery.
What?
She sold that cake to your husband.
Riley? That's impossible. Well, why should he... Riley, are you going to let him stand there? Riley, where are you? Riley, where'd he go to?
Hey, Mom.
Junior, did you see your father?
Yeah, I just saw him climbing out the bathroom window.
We're right in the middle of The Life of Riley. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about it?
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
You made your bread. Now lie in it. And cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Junior. Pop, where were you?
Shh, where's your mother?
In the kitchen.
What's she doing?
Just sitting there.
Sitting?
Yeah. Just sitting and staring at the spot where the stove used to be.
Oh. It's going to be awful for the poor woman, cooking dinner on hot stones.
Who's that at the door, Junior?
That's only me, Dumplin. You stay here, Junior.
Okay, Pop.
Oh, you're back, are you?
Well, go on. Why don't you say it? Say it. I deserve it. There's no excuse for what I did. Go on. Let me have it. Say it. I'm no good. I'm deceitful. I ain't honest. I ain't got an honest bone in my body. I couldn't tell the truth to save my life. I'm a fine example for my kids. Ever since I married you, I brought you nothing but trouble. I haven't got the brains of a flea. And you never want to speak to me as long as you live. Say it.
I'm not going to say any of those things.
I must be in the wrong house.
Well, there's no point in yelling at you. I guess you meant well. You really did it for me. I can understand when you dropped the cake. You just didn't think.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't think. Then you're not mad. You forgive me.
What else can I do?
Oh, Peg. You're the most wonderful wife a guy could have. You're so understanding.
Only next time you get in a jam, don't try to lie your way out of it. Come and tell me. I'll understand.
Oh, I will. I will. I swear it. I never realized you're so understanding. And I swear I'll never lie to you again.
Oh, you always say
that. No, but this time I mean it. And to prove this isn't just talk, you see that vase on the mantle? I told you I took it to the lamp shop. Well, I lied to you, Peg. I drilled a hole in it myself and cracked it to pieces.
Oh. Oh, no. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. It's just standing up on the mantle by a miracle. If you just touch it. Hey, you see? I'm telling you the truth. Aren't you proud of me?
Huh? Proud of you. You deliberately lied to me.
Yeah, but thank
you. You're the most deceitful. You're just not honest.
I know, but you just
couldn't
told me
to tell the truth to save your life.
Yeah, but
a
you just...
fine example for your kids. You haven't got an honest bone
Peg,
in your body.
You're the one
ever
who's...
since I married you, you brought
yeah,
nothing
but
to trouble. Well, you haven't got the brains of a
you
flea.
You told me.
Don't to... talk to me. I never want to speak to you again as long as I live.
Yeah, but... Women. I give up. No matter what you do to them, they just don't appreciate it. But, Peg, I bought you a new stove. It cost me a fortune. What more do you want? Say you forgive me. Come on, please, Peg.
All right, I forgive you.
You really didn't mean all those things you said about me.
Of course not. Only you get me so mad sometimes.
It won't happen again. From now on, I'll be an angel.
I don't want you to be an angel. Just tell me the truth once in a while.
I'll tell you the truth all the time. I swear it, Peg. And this time I mean it. And to prove I ain't just talking, you know last week when I...
When you what?
Oh, no, you ain't gonna trap me again.
Pabst Blue Ribbon invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Alan Lipscott and Reuben Shipp. Music direction by Lou Koslow. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger O'Dell is John Brown. And Junior is Bobby Ellis. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker. The Life of Riley was brought to you transcribed by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And sent your way with the best wishes of Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. See you next week. Jimmy Wallington speaks.
The cake contest, an episode of The Life of Riley from October 27, 1950. As you could judge by the live audience's reaction, Digby Odell was a wildly popular character. There certainly had been concerns that adding a mortician to a comedy show would be, at the minimum, morbid, and worst-case scenario, proved dangerously unfunny. But after John Brown's deadpan, pun intended, performance as Digger, cemented it as a comedy classic. Brown, who was actually British-born, was very busy on radio. He was also Chester's buddy and co-worker Jim Gillis. And over on My Friend Irma, he was boyfriend Al, plus neighbor Thorny on Ozzie and Harriet, the narrator Broadway on the Damon Runyon Theater, and much more. Quite a talent. I'm Greg Bell, and next on Win Radio was Dashiell Hammett's private eye, Sam Spade, as voiced by Howard Duff. We'll be right back.
Diamond Detective Agency, guard against throat scratch, enjoys smoother strangling.
Silver screen legend Dick Powell stars as radio's Richard Diamond, the lighthearted detective who can be counted on for a quick quip or some saucy sarcasm.
But you'd be in bed by now, Rick.
My landlord short-cheated me.
But in Radio Spirit's HCD collection, Richard Diamond's Surplus Homicides, there are plenty of serious situations to go along with the sass.
Where's the body?
Downstairs. You want to take a look?
Not especially. I told his mother I'd do something for him, and right now I don't seem to be able to think of a thing.
Get the killer. Help me.
There's also plenty of action to keep Rick on his toes and listeners on the edge of their seats.
Then as I walked down the street, I suddenly felt the nerves in my spine jump down into the pit of my stomach and goose pimples skidded up my back like scared rice. It was a feeling I'd had before. So without turning, I headed for the steps of a basement apartment.
Between the charm and the chases, Diamond delivers in 16 digitally restored and remastered adventures written by Blake Edwards. Radio Spirits also delivers with an amazing half-price sale. For a limited time, pay only $15.98 for Richard Diamond, Surplus Homicides. Just go to radiospirits.com now or call 800-833-4248 and use offer code RICHARD7 to save 50% off the regular price. Order today to pay just $15.98 for this 8-CD collection.
I know a few things I haven't told you about, and this almost puts a cinch on it. I want to talk to Young, and then I'll be down to see you.
But if Young tried to have you killed...
Oh, if he did, you can't prove it. Not yet, anyway, so sit tight and... When I get there, I'll show you how to catch a killer.
This offer won't live forever, so order Surplus Homicides today at radiospirits.com or call 800-833-4248 and remember offer code RICHARD7. This offer is available for a limited time to U.S. residents only and cannot be combined with any other offer.
A mentor program director from my L.A. radio days would remind the on-air talent that our job every time we opened the microphone was to elicit a positive emotional response. Something that would encourage or uplift our audience in a way that would cause him or her to be thankful for being there at that moment in time. Hi, this is Bill Martinez, man of God, nationally syndicated radio host, former Marine, and award-winning marketing professional. Now, radio is an emotional medium, and this idea caught on and grew the station's popularity to unprecedented audience numbers. This idea impacted me so that I started applying it to other areas of my life with my family and business encounters. It was almost immediate and changed my perspective. Imagine what would happen if we approached all our encounters with the objective of eliciting a positive emotional response, especially today when contention is getting more attention than it deserves. I found this concept to have universal appeal and application. Try it and see for yourself.
For more information about the Bill Martinez Show, go to BillMartinezShow.com.
Welcome back to Win Radio Was. Rash promised we'd enter the realm of private eyes. This is a Halloween episode. Announcer Dick Joy provides the name of the series. I'll just let you know it stars Howard Duff, with Lorraine Tuttle as Effie, and originally played on October 31st of 1948.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Sam Spade, Detective Agency.
Very important, sweetheart. Write this down.
Yes, Sam. I have pencil and paper ready.
Ingredients, colon.
Punctuation or ingredients, Sam?
Both.
Well, what is it, Sam?
A recipe. 1 pound of fennel.
Oh, that's liquid measure, Sam.
You put that in later.
Cross out funnel?
Not funnel, fennel. It is not liquid. It grows in Fairly Pines.
It Fairly what, Sam?
One road of St. John's Wort.
Whose wort?
Not wort. Wort.
Oh, wort.
Don't interrupt. Some newt's eyes, a couple pounds ought to be enough. 1 ounce of bat's wool. One adder fork, that is not a utensil. One fillet of fenny snake. Some lizard's legs. One hemlock root, digged in the dark. Directions. In the poisoned entrails, throw told that under cold stone days and nights has 31. And if anyone drops in for trick-or-treat, Effie, leave him have it.
Oh, Sam, now I get it. Halloween. It's a witch's brew. You were only fooling.
That's what you think, sweetheart. Get out your cauldron, your poison pen, and your book of malefactions. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the Fairly Bright caper, or I should have stood in bed and ducked for apples.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in the adventures of Sam Spade.
Dying? Oh, no, it's only two devils that blow through a murderer's bones to and fro in the ghost's moonshine.
Oh, Sam, take off that ridiculous mask. You look about as much like a demon.
As a demon, check. Fly your broom into the adjoining office, sister, and we'll weave a few spells. Effie.
Yes, Sam?
What is this thing on my desk? Looks like a pumpkin.
It is a pumpkin. I made it this afternoon. Here, I'll light it.
Well, isn't that cute?
Isn't that cute?
Eyes and nose and mouth. Looks like Lieutenant Dundee of Homicide.
Well, thank you, Sam.
Thank you. Well, I guess everyone knows it's Halloween, even if they don't listen to the radio. Shall we?
We shall.
Date, All Hallows Eve, 1948, to Hillary Bright, Esquire, number 13, Black Place, City, from Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, the Fairly Bright Caper. It was a fairly bright afternoon for the fog-bound Bay Area. There was no frost upon the pumpkin. In fact, as yet, no pumpkin. But I did see a black cat and several attractive wolf girls in broomstick skirts during the bus ride down the peninsula to your client's ancestral estate, Fairly Pines. A bat flew out of a hollow tree as I mushed up a road through some pine woods to the house. In the gathering dusk, I also observed the toad, a lizard and a hooty owl, which, if memory serves, are staple ingredients for a witch's brew. Then I observed, hobbling out of the forest, an authentic hag. She was wearing a dusty black robe, a peaked black hat, and her matted gray hair coiled serpent-like around her evil countenance. She leaned on a gnarled staff of hemlock, fixed me with her yellow, glittering eyes, and said,
"Hello, kiddo."
"Yes'm?"
"Which way's the house?"
"Which house?"
"Fairly Pines. Lost my bearings, I did. I was looking for some fennel.
Oh.
I got the bat's wool right enough and newt's legs. Couldn't find no adder's forks, but reckon this here copperhead will do the trick."
What are you going to do with all that stuff?"
"It's for the brew. I'm the witch I hired for tonight. Name's Gudge. Born Sophia, but of course I don't have no Christian name anymore since I sold out to Old Scratch. Beat me down on my price, he did, too. Look at that wart on my nose."
"What nose?"
"Huh?"
"The house is up that way."
"Mind if I walk along with you, pretty boy?"
"I don't like girls."
"Huh?"
No, not at all, ma'am.
"No need to be afeard. With the sounds you see, they are obeying me. They'll be lucky if I give them a whiff of brimstone."
Not so close, please."
"But I did promise one manifestation and the scream of a soul in torment at the witching hour."
"Yeah." Where do I find Mr. Hillary Bright?"
"Oh, you're the detective, is it Spade?"
"Right."
"Oh, well, I'm Homer Langdon, attorney for the Fairly Estate. Come along, I'll take you to him. Sorry for that challenge just now. Been hearing strange noises around the grounds. You notice anything peculiar as you came up the road?"
Well, there was an old lady, I use the term loosely."
"Looking for fennel?"
"Yeah."
That's the witch. Mr. Bright hired her for the party tonight.
Takes her work kind of seriously, doesn't she?"
"Well, you know how it is. Seasonal work."
"What does she do between Halloweens?"
"Claims she hibernates."
"Mommy!
Gadophilia.
Mommy!
This is
Fairley, Spade. She's eccentric. Don't let her know.
Check.
Oh, here I am, Homer. What was it you wanted? Oh, it's the man from the catering.
No, Ophelia. This is Mr. Spade, the detective that Mr. Bright employed.
Oh, well, about that recipe for the aspic. Cook says she's never heard of putting fennel and lizard's claws in a tomato aspic. And Mr. Bright says hemlock is poison.
You've got it mixed up, Ophelia. That's the recipe for the witch's brew.
Well, anyway, the grocer says he doesn't stock them, so you'll have to garnish it with parsley.
Ophelia, he's not the caterer. He's the detective.
Oh, well, keep your eye on those pumpkins. Mice, you know.
Mice?
You know, mice. Pumpkins? Where is that witch? I've got to tell her about the parsley.
Sad case, but harmless. Shall we go in?
Yeah.
Now, watch his jawbone, Wilma. Oh, you've already broken his neck.
Oh, why don't you hire an assistant? I don't like hanging him in the house anyway. We don't even know who he is.
What are they up to now? Halloween comes up once a year.
Oh, it's a skeleton, part of the decoration. Hillary.
Oh, yes, Wilma.
I couldn't find the witch, but here's the detective.
Ah, well... You can have the witch. I'll take him.
Oh, watch what you're doing, Wilma. The ladder.
Sorry.
This just about completes the arrangements. Oh, this is Miss Wilma Fairley, for whom I'm managing this nauseous ball. Sam Spade.
Hillary. Is that any way to speak about a girl's fifth engagement party?
Forgive me if I'm guilty of understatement. Oh, fix that wire, Wilma. The top of Frankenstein's head's caving in. And look at that. The bolts are coming out of his neck already. Oh, well, come along, Spade. And I'll tell you how you fit into this mess.
See you at the party, Sam.
In here, Spade. Privacy.
I don't think we're quite alone, are we?
99%. This is Fairley Fiancé number 5. Ralph Cram by name. Oh, wake up, Ralph.
Don't bother. He started the party a little early?
Before lunch. But can you blame him? If I weren't a teetotaler, I'd be out staggering around the woods with that witch.
Now, what exactly is my assignment, Mr. Bright?
I want you to be present at this miserable party tonight and pretend to have a good time.
Why didn't you hire an actor?
This is a new kind of masquerade ball. Even I have a unique problem here. A Halloween party combined with a party announcing the engagement of a socially prominent young woman. Well, naturally, the press will be on hand. They always are at my parties. But I doubt if any of the invited guests will show up. That's where you come in. You're one of the uninvited guests.
I don't get it.
But it's very simply this. I have a reputation to maintain. I'm sure you have better things to do than read the society page, so I'll explain. I believe some ill-informed columnists have referred to me as the male Elsa Maxwell. That's not true. She is the male Hillary Bright. Female, that is.
Anyway, you're a professional party giver, is that it?
Exactly.
What's the matter with Wilma? Why won't anybody come to her party?
Because everyone on the guest list is either a relative or a friend of some poor swain she has jilted on the very steps of the altar.
Oh, now I get it.
Exactly. Now, as to the party. Masquerade. Natch. What else could you have on Halloween?
Figures.
Yes. If anyone came, they'd probably be dressed as witches or pumpkins, which is dull enough in itself.
Quite so.
But the Fairleys and their immediate circle will undoubtedly trot out their moth-eaten Beaux-Arts costumes. Old Langdon is Louis the 14th. Wilma and her mother trying to look like Greek goddesses in some old drapes from a Fanchon and Marco idea.
What about the boyfriend here?
Well, you can see how hideous it's all going to be. And Life magazine has promised to cover it. Well, I simply had to do something.
What about the boyfriend?
I think it's the party idea of the year. 20 uninvited guests who will come as themselves.
Who's my date, the witch?
Oh, isn't she priceless? You know, I thought of burning her at the stake as the grand climax of the evening.
I've got matches.
No, I decided against it. It's too messy.
Well, it sounds like loads of fun, Mr. Bright, but I'm afraid you called the wrong detective.
Now,
so
wait
I'll...
a minute, please. Hear me out. Now, there's method in my madness. I believe I mentioned 20 uninvited guests.
Who were coming as themselves, yes.
Exactly. Well, I've gone to a great deal of trouble and expense getting together a really colorful group. All authentic types. A gangster, a shrimp fisherman, a swami, 3 bubble dancers,
three.
A gypsy, a paroled axe murderer, a sand hog. Oh, that reminds me, I must see whether the blubber arrived for that Eskimo they're flying down from Nome.
Yeah, well...
What I'm getting at, Spade, is that with a collection of people like that, well, anything might happen.
Well, why didn't you invite the local police force?
Oh, they're coming in costume, of course.
Good, then you won't need me. Besides, I get $800 a day in expenses.
Mr. Spade... At the last party our local chief of police attended, the guests were held up and robbed of $50,000 worth of jewels, including the chief's gold badge. So, you see, we do need you. Hey, what's that? Go back to sleep, Ralph. It's only the guests arriving.
I get $1,000.
You were right. You did meet a detective. In fact, you could have used several others. First, the pickpocket you invited lifted the police chief's wallet. The axe murderer chased the witch up a tree. And the gangster and the cowboy tried to shoot it out over one of the bubble dances. After I'd foiled the safecracker in the act of blowing the vault in the library, things quieted down and everybody formed a circle around a bonfire.
All right, quiet, please. Quiet, everyone. Quiet. Mrs. Fairley has a very important announcement to make. Ophelia?
She was here just a few moments ago.
Well, have you seen her around Langdon?
A few minutes ago. She said she had a headache and went upstairs to get some aspirin.
Sam, I'm worried about Mother. Would you mind going upstairs to see what she's up to? She's been behaving so strangely tonight.
She's been behaving strangely. Sure, Wilma. I'll be right back.
Come along. Let's get on with it. A witch.
Peasant!
You stand over here.
Yeah?
No. Bring your broom. That's it. And don't look so pleasant. You're supposed to be evil.
Beware. Those not wearing toadbane is subject to wart. There's evil in this place tonight. Blood on the stone, blood in the cauldron.
I hated to miss the manifestation, and I hoped I'd get back in time for the scream of the soul in torment, the witch had promised earlier in the evening. I cased the rooms on the second floor. Wilma's fiancé, Ralph Cram, was in one of them asleep. Ophelia wasn't in any of them. But in one of the bedrooms, I found something that puzzled me. A rope made out of bed sheets dangled out of the window, but the window was closed. I walked over and opened it. The witch was still at it. I couldn't see the merry little group around the bonfire, but where the firelight glowed against the tree trunks at the edge of the woods, I saw a white-robed figure crouching in the shadows. Then I heard it.
Somebody shot her.
She was sprawled on her face at the foot of a big pine tree at the edge of the clearing. A single slug had entered the body just below her left shoulder blade. If this was part of Mr. Bright's Halloween production, I thought he'd overdone it just a little, because she was dead. As nearly as I could reconstruct it, Wilma had been standing outside the circle of people grouped around the fire as if somebody in the woods had called to her and she'd left the group to investigate. She'd been facing the fire when she was shot. And what about the two shots that had missed her? If the killer had been aiming at her and missed, he couldn't have avoided hitting somebody else in the crowd. I went back to the house to check the guests. All there, unwounded and accounted for, except the witch. According to the local chief of police, it was rapidly turning into a toad. She had flown away on her broom. I checked my nose for warts.
Time for intermission on this Sam Spade episode. We'll be back with the conclusion right after this.
Cancel culture is coming to your bank, and holding the wrong political views might soon leave you out in the cold. I'm Bill Walton. On the latest episode of The Bill Walton Show, Todd Zwicky, Paul Watkins, and I discuss what is already happening, how the Biden administration is already pursuing this agenda, and what we can do about it. This progressive culture offensive is relentless. It's coming for you, and you won't hear about this anywhere else. Follow The Bill Walton Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hi, everyone. This is Fred Dreyer for Balance7.com. Do you have acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you like? Your stomach is upset all the time? Chronic pain a problem? Then do yourself a favor and go to Balance7.com. Start living again and get rid of chronic pain. Balance 7 has all the natural ingredients that work to rid your body of inflammation. I take it every day to keep my inflammation and acid indigestion in check. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, get rid of your acid indigestion and inflammation with Balance7.com. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039, 800-793-9039, or go to Balance7.com. That's Balance, the number 7.com.
Welcome back to Howard Duff, starring in Sam Spade on When Radio Was.
By dawn the next morning, Aloysius Becker, boy police chief, still hadn't sweated anything out of his 20-odd suspects, but yawned. The family lawyer, Langdon, had an old gun permit, no gun. Then he canvassed the town for Wilma's 18 jilted suitors. They were all alibied by their wives and children, which knocked that angle out. She carried no insurance, nobody stood to gain anything financially by her death, and nobody but you, Mr. Bright, actively disliked her. About then, Chief Becker put Ophelia back on the griddle.
Now, look here, Mrs. Fairley. You still aren't coming clean with us.
Clean? Oh, the ashtrays. I'll call the maid.
Come back here.
Yes, Chief Becker?
Now, sit down, Mrs. Fairley. Now, let's go over the part of your story where we found the bedsheets hanging out your window.
Yes.
Why did you tie the bedsheets together and hang them out the window?
For a rope.
So, you admit that you used that rope to sneak out?
I did no such thing. I always go out that way at night.
And you admit that, I give up.
Mrs. Fairley.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Spade. I want to thank you for guarding the pumpkin so well. I didn't see a mouse all evening.
Thank you, Mrs. Fairley. I only did what...
Why is Chief Becker so angry?
I think what's worrying him, Mrs. Fairley, is why you closed the window behind you when you went out on your rope.
So no one would know. Wilma worries about me. You won't tell her?
It's as plain as a nose on your face what she's doing. Working up to an insanity plea.
Ingenious theory, Chief, but look, can I talk to you a minute outside?
Yeah, could use a little air. Keep them all here, Monahan.
Look, Chief, why don't you lay off that poor old dame? She's too vague, disorganized. It took a marksman. The way the wound was, no point of exit, just punch at the wall of the heart and stop. The low velocity impact.
Sure. A what?
It had been fired from about the maximum range of a .38 pistol. You have to figure on the drop in trajectory as the bullet slowed down. It was either a trick shot or one that just connected accidentally.
By the way, we only have your word for it that you were upstairs in the house when those shots were fired. You carry a .38, don't you, Spade?
What kind of gun do you carry, Chief?
Yes. Well, we'd better wait till ballistics sends back the report on the slug. Gosh, if we could only figure out where she hid the gun.
Don't look now, Chief, but that witch is back again.
What?
Pretty boy! Where have you been? I've been looking all over for you, mortals.
You're going to have a good deal of explaining to do, lady. Why did you fly away like that last night?
I had to see to my cauldron. A good thing I did, too. Look what I found in it. No wonder my manifestation didn't work. Base metal in my brew.
.38 caliber, too. Three bullets fired.
Gee, that settles it. You're under arrest.
Who, me?
Yes. But no, her.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll put a star on you, I will. I'll turn you into a toad.
Look, Chief, where's that gun permit you took out of Langdon's room?
Oh, I forgot. Forgot about that. Here, it's in my pocket.
Let's see that serial number.
Well?
They match. It's Langdon's gun.
Boy, oh boy, then it's settled.
That's what you think, boy, oh boy. Don't forget, he's a lawyer. I headed for the woods. I found the spot where I'd seen the figure in white crouching just before the shots were fired.
A little way back in the woods, I found footprints. French heels, short, mincing stride. Following along behind them was another set, flat soles, long, manly stride. The mannish footprints followed the feminine footprints almost to the clearing and then stopped. The feminine footprints went on straight to the spot where Wilma had fallen. I knew that no woman had been over this trail since the murder except the witch, who probably had cloven hoofs. Her cauldron had vanished, but the fire was still smoldering. I kicked through the ashes. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I found it. I raked it out with a stick and prodded it. The blackened outer layers crumbled away. It had been a raging bonfire, but there are few things harder to burn than a telephone book. The middle pages were yellowed from the heat and seared around the edges, but they were still intact. There was a hole punched in the middle of each page. Feminine footprints right up to the X that marked the spot in the phone book through which a bullet had been fired. I had a hunch the ballistics report would prove that Langdon's gun did not fire the fatal bullet. I was right, but for the wrong reason.
Yeah, you can't get around it, Chief. Ballistics don't lie. You can see here. You don't even need a magnifying glass. Take a look there.
Don't have my glasses.
Well, you ought to be able to feel it. Two big ridges on the test slug. The other one's almost smooth. Rust bits wouldn't make a ridge like that, would they?
No, we figure they must have used a faulty cutter at the factory when they rifled the barrel.
Well, that settles it. That and those woman's footprints and that phone book all point to Mrs. Fairley.
What's about a phone book?
Whoever shot her fired the slug through a phone book to make it look like a long-range job. It was a low-velocity hit, all right, but it was tearing through that phone book that slowed it down.
That proves the killer didn't have to be a marksman. Stood right next to it. What's so funny?
This picture in the morning paper, you and those bubble dancers, Chief.
Let me see that. Why, that's libelous.
It's more than that.
Huh?
They're in the background, Langdon and Mrs. Fairley.
What about them?
Their shoes. Langdon's dressed as Louis XIV, French heels. Mrs. Fairley in that Greek goddess getup, sandals, flat heels.
It's Langdon's gun, then it's not Langdon's gun. It's a long-range shot, then it's through a deed catalog.
Phone book.
Now it's a man in woman's shoes, an attorney at that. Monahan, get me some fingerprints, something I can work with.
I didn't blame the chief. My somersaulting clues were getting me dizzy, too. So far, Langdon, like the good lawyer he was, had kept his mouth shut, which meant nothing one way or the other. That was smart. But he had disposed of his gun by throwing it in the witch's cauldron, which was stupid. A, because it was sure to be found, and B, because there was no reason for hiding it anyway. But two stupid sometimes make a smart. If he wanted it to be found, he must have had a story ready in case he had to talk. If I were in that spot, my story would have been that I fired those shots into the woods after the fleeing killer. But I didn't know how I would explain the fact that only three shots were heard, one of which killed Wilma. Then I thought of those two ridges on that test slug. Two ridges, two shots into the woods. This time, I did know what I was looking for. They were buried deep in the soft trunk of a pine tree near the ground. I dropped to my knees and dug. I got the first one out and was looking at it. It was a misshapen hunk of worthless lead. Something embedded in the side of it glittered in the sun like a diamond. In fact, it was a diamond. And it stopped glittering. Something behind me had come between it and the sun. I flopped on my side and rolled over. I grabbed his legs and tripped him. Then I saw his face. It was Langdon. I was halfway to my feet when his foot caught me where it hurt and my legs doubled up. I tried to keep moving and get my gun out at the same time. He was on his feet again before I was, so I fired without aiming from flat on my back. It only scorched his coat, but it stopped him a second. He swung his gun up, and I got ready to jump him. But I didn't have to. A pointed black hat rose up out of the brush behind him. Something flashed in the sun, and he collapsed.
Put a spell on him, I did. With this here magic wand. Blown into it to you, sonny.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mrs. Witch.
God's his handles on, which is my profession.
Boy, that was a close call. Put the cuffs on him, Monahan.
Hey, what are you doing?
No, Monahan, not Spade. Langdon there. Been following him since I found out he was wearing women's shoes. Well, that settles it, eh, Spade?
Yeah, but you'll need this.
What is it?
A jeweled bullet. A slug with a diamond set in it.
Come on, hero.
It's the master clue of this caper.
Oh, yeah, the master clue. You better come along, too, lady, for questioning.
What?
We'll book her for vagrancy if we need it.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll turn you into a toad. You don't believe me, do you? Hoppy toad, hoppy toad, warty and green. Feel anything?
Well, on second thought, I reckon she's harmless, poor old soul.
Soul, indeed. Ain't got any. I sold out to old Scratch 30 years ago, come next Halloween. See you then, sonny.
Go home and goggle. report.
But, Sam, what was the significance of the jewel bullet?
Hmm? Oh, well, after he shot Wilma, Langdon fired two shots into the woods, remember?
Yes.
Those two bullets had diamond insets so placed that they would gouge the inside of the gun barrel. All bullets fired from the gun thereafter would have markings different from the one fired into Wilma's body.
Oh! Well, he was wrong, of course, but it was noble of him to want to cover up for poor Mrs. Fairley.
What for, Effie?
Well, she killed her dog, of course, because she was just out of patience with her, getting engaged and unengaged all the time till they hadn't a friend in the world.
That's
so. That was the motive, wasn't it, Sam?
That's fairly bright, sweetheart, except that Mrs. Fairley did not kill her daughter. Langdon did.
You mean she was his daughter, too, by a previous marriage?
Go type that up, sweetheart, before I turn you into a toad.
You know best, but Mrs. Fairley was the only one with a motive. And that Mr. Bright was secretly in love with her and wanted to marry her himself.
So he killed her. That was Fairley Bright.
Oh, her fiancé. What happened to him?
He woke up and went home.
Oh, well, then I guess he didn't have a motive.
Pay attention, sweetheart. Langdon, as trustee of the Fairley estate, had embezzled large sums of money, which he would have to account for under the community property law if she got married.
She got married.
He had already broken up many of her romances, but when the old lady went soft in the head, he decided to end the danger once and for all. He could explain matters any way he wanted to, and there'd be nobody to contradict him. Are you listening up?
Sam, what does she do between Halloween?
The witch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's the squeak in the door on Inner Sanctum.
Oh, you made the joke too small. Well, good night, Sal.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Lorene Tuttle is Effie. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Dahlman and Gil Dowd. Musical direction by Lud Gluskin, with score composed by Renee Garrigang. Join us again next Sunday when author Dashiell Hammett and producer William Spear join forces for another adventure with Sam Spade. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children too. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That Halloween episode known as the Fairly Bright Caper first played back on the final day of October of 1948. A nice little reference at the end there to another well-known CBS program. The squeaking door, which weekly introduced the Inner Sanctum Mysteries, was such an important sound effect. It was copyrighted and trademarked. It's not alone. There are a number of famed sounds now copyrighted and or trademarked. I'll list some and then wrap up when radio was right after this break.
Well, I never felt more like singing the blues, 'cause I never thought that I'd ever lose your love. Why'd you do me this way?
MusicRewind.com presents The Nashville Hitmakers, a collection of 60 songs that helped inspire the Nashville sound movement in the 1950s.
I still care.
A little bit of tear left me down. Spoil my act as a clown.
Enjoy this 3-CD set of original recordings sung by Music City influencers such as Jim Reeves, Dolly Parton, Charlie Fry, Kitty Wells, Berlin Husky, George Jones, Patsy Cline, and many more. Order The Nashville Hitmakers at MusicRewind.com or call 855-798-5556 today and pay only $19.98. Plus, get reduced shipping. Just enter or mention promo code HITS77.
Billy, Billy, bio, watch where you go. You're walking on quicksand, walk slow.
Get The Nashville Hitmakers today to experience this unique compilation of songs that has influenced the country music we hear today. Go to MusicRewind.com or call 855-798-5556 to pay the amazingly low price of $19.98. Remember, it's 77 to save on shipping. This offer is available for a limited time to U.S. residents only and cannot be combined with any other offer.
So the other day, I had two brand new MyPillows on the kitchen counter. My daughter Andrea came over to the house and saw my MyPillows and said, "Dad, I love MyPillow. It really helps me sleep and keeps my neck from hurting." Hi, this is Kerry Hall. Guess who got the two new MyPillows? You know, I've been using MyPillow for the last 10 years, and they really do help you sleep better. MyPillows adjust to the way I sleep and help my posture while I sleep, so I don't get up in the morning with neck pain or back pain because I slept wrong. So treat yourself to a great night's sleep and order your MyPillow today. You can get your MyPillow for as little as $19.99. Simply go online to MyPillow.com/healthy, then confirm the promo code HEALTHY to take advantage of this great offer. Remember, you have to enter the promo code HEALTHY, MyPillow.com/healthy, or you can call 1-800-652-7865, 1-800-652-7865. Remember the code HEALTHY.
And welcome back to Win Radio Was. Before the break, we were talking about copyrighted and trademarked sound effects. One of the most famous in radio is the squeaky door, which opened weekly into the inner sanctum. Here are a few other trademarked sounds. The NBC chimes. MGM's Lions Roar. Both the Jolly Green Giant and the Pillsbury Doughboys laughs. Yahoo's Yodel. Intel's five-note motif. And even Homer Simpson's Dope. I'm Greg Bell, and please remember to visit our website. It's winradiowas.com. And until next time, I bid you farewell.
When Radio Was is presented by RadioSpirits.com. This is your announcer, Bart Taylor.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.